kill Nicole.
OJ.
All right.
No book and no movie. They finally caved in. Rupert Murdoch said, well, I'm going to beep, bada boop, bada bop, and the public is like overwhelmingly pissed off, and our own people are ripping us an ass at Fox News, and we're not going to do it. The only problem with that is that the book was already on the way to the bookstores all across North America.
Right. Isn't it already on eBay?
And it's already on eBay. So, you know, the fact that the cases of those cartons of books arrived in different places, and people obviously reached in there and hopped up a few and put them on eBay. Anything you can get your hands on, man, put it on eBay, and some schmuck out there will pay you $1,000 for it. Like maybe some of the body parts from Hostel. Yeah, I'm going to take Clarence over there. That was the only thing missing from that movie. I saw it on cable last night for the first time. Hostel, for those of you who don't travel very much, youth hostels are like real cheap, low-budget hotels. Through almost every European city, you'll find youth hostels. Mm-hmm. Where groups of backpackers hang out and, you know, like tend to a room and one toilet for the entire floor. Stuff like that. Kind of stuff that you guys could afford.
Thanks.
So we'll talk about that because all three of us have seen Hostel. And Josh and Miguel thought it was great.
What?
No, we actually all saw Match Point and we thought that was pretty damn good.
Very good movie.
But we can't talk about it very much because then we'll give it away. Just keep your eyes on The Ring. Wouldn't you think that's a good suggestion?
Yes.
That's not a giveaway. It's just, you know. Anyway, I know a lot of people probably think that today's poll is the same one as yesterday's, and we apologize because Sean, you owe an apology, baby. Being lazy since it's Thanksgiving week, lazier than usual, I figured, well, I'll just steal whatever Sean faxed in. And come to find out, he had these two polls almost side by each, and they are damn near the same.
Pretty much.
Yesterday, we asked, what's your biggest regret, and today, what do you feel guilty about most? But at any rate, too bad. But before we get to the poll results, man files complaint in dog feces dispute. Hermosa Beach, California, a quadriplegic man has filed a complaint in L.A. Superior Court against the Hermosa Beach police, claiming he was thrown to the ground after a dispute over who would pick up his dog's feces. David Nichols said his civil rights were violated in August 2005 while he was walking a service dog along the beach. The 43-year-old man claims he was first yelled at by a hotel employee for not picking up after his dog, a job he claims belonged to the hotel worker. The hotel worker then flagged down a police officer who told Nichols to stop his wheelchair. Accounts of what happened next differ in the police report and the lawsuit. Nichols claims he was forced to the ground by the officer, but the police report states Nichols fell from his chair onto the pavement during a struggle. The incident triggered an internal investigation within the police department, but the outcome hasn't been revealed. Nichols has been confined to a wheelchair since a 2002 skiing accident left him paralyzed. The suit demands a jury trial, unspecified compensation, because he wouldn't clean up his dog's crap off the beach. How do you like that?
How about that?
Quadriplegic guy. And I love the way it says he was walking his dog on the beach. How do you walk your dog in a wheelchair?
You know.
And if I have to hear any more about Mike Richards or Denise Richards or Brad Richards or Keith Richards, I don't want to hear any more about it, or Jerry Seinfeld. I didn't watch the show. I'm the only person in America who didn't watch it. I hate that show. I hate Jerry Seinfeld. I can't stand a whole bunch of them. And the hell with it.
Hey, the people care about Michael
well,
Richards
I don't.
Being racist.
I don't. I do not care about Mike Richards. If I wouldn't have read the article, I wouldn't have any idea who that was. None. So it's not just the fact that I'm not in South Florida most of the time that I'm out of touch. I'm out of touch with a lot of things. You know what? I'm ecstatic that I'm out of touch with Seinfeld and Mike Richards and all of that crap, all of this stuff. And that beaner Paul Rodriguez that was up there in that comedy club. Well, he was supposed to apologize, and he wasn't welcome here. I'm going to go back across the border, Paul.
Hey,
get lost.
He's funny, actually, Paul Rodriguez.
I know that, but I don't want to hear his BS, okay? I don't want to hear all this moaning and groaning, and, oh, he was supposed to apologize. Yeah. Now, you just stick it up for him because you're sure his name ends in Z. He must be Cuban. That's the reason you're sticking up for him. There were no Cubans in the movie Hostel or even in Match Point. Yeah, you liked them both.
Yeah, see that?
Hostel was, and the only reason I stopped and watched it when I came across it on the cable last night is because it started out and it said on there a bunch of American punks backpacking through Amsterdam. And so I thought, well, that might be fairly interesting, might bring back some interesting memories. A lot of boobies in it, I'll say that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, almost all of them fake, though. I noticed if you read the reviews on IMDb, which it only got a 5.8, and deservedly so.
Some hostile reviews there.
Yeah, a lot of hostile reviews. Anyway, here's the poll result from yesterday. How many votes did we get? 1503. And we got the poll up last night, late. It's a very long story. I got a call from Eric as I was trying desperately to fax him the poll, and it wasn't going through. And, are you trying to fax me a poll? I said, yeah. And he went, whoa, like that. You
we've
know,
been having some issues lately.
We've been having technical issues all over the place of late, you know? Just one of those things. So Thanksgiving week. And anyway, so what I had to wind up doing was faxing it to his wife at work, at her work, and then she brought it home, which evidently she either came home much later. I don't know. It got up there kind of late. And we don't care. Like I told Eric, que sera, sera. We don't care. It's there. Have fun with it. Diddle with it. Vote on it. And spit on it. Whatever, you know. It is comforting to know, though, if you lose some body parts, like if you get a couple of fingers chopped off, that they stop bleeding right away and your body doesn't go into shock. And you can just stuff the fingers in your pocket or whatever for later on, you know.
That's right.
And just keep moseying right along.
Well, remember that for when it happens.
Like that kid did in the movie last night in Hostel. So if anybody chops off your fingers or other body parts, just shove them in your pocket. And just keep on. What's your biggest regret? The ass I missed. All the action I could have had and I passed on. Or I was too stupid, too scared, too dumb. The ass I missed. 485, almost a third. Missed ass. Never went to college, 165. Never found true love, and we still don't have the song, 119, and we don't want to hear it anyway. It's so boring and syrupy. Getting married, 115. 7.6% of this audience say that's their biggest regret, getting married. Wish I'd been a better person, 112. I hate this poll, 107, down to a mere 7.1%. Boy, that's pretty good. I was trying to get under 10, remember? Or under 9?
Yeah.
I have no regrets, 92. These are people who have had a wonderful, perfect life. They regret nothing, or they're too stupid to realize what they missed. Getting fat, 89. It's a bad regret. And once you get fat, usually your whole life you wind up being fat. Never bought a house, 54. Smoking cigarettes, 43, and growing a gigantic tumor or whatever you're growing in your lungs and all that other stuff. Was a lousy son or daughter, 40. Abusing drugs or booze, 33. Having kids, 28. Didn't graduate high school, 14, and getting divorced, only 7. I would think that most people who got divorced are, you know, happy about
it.
Yeah,
they're throwing a party.
Yeah, they're not having regrets. They're very ecstatic about, you know, cutting the cord. Like they did in the movie last night when they cut the cord on her eyeball. Well, I don't want to ruin it for you. I don't want to tell you that she jumps in front of the train at the end. See, that's a movie you really can't ruin because nobody watches it for the plot, because there isn't any plot.
Right, no plot.
It's your average cheesy horror movie.
Just about a bunch of wealthy guys in Slovakia and this private club. And these people have enough money that they can pay, you know, thousands of dollars to for, you know, people of different ethnic origins, an American,
they love
Icelander.
The Americans.
Yeah. Yeah, they like the American. What was it, 25 grand for him, for
that's
his
right.
buddy? And then they torture them and dismember them and mutilate and murder and whatever. And then how do you like to have that one guy's job there, the guy that was in the big room with all the furnace, you know, chopping up the body parts and heaving them into the furnace? 584 votes on the poll, so we're not going to make 1,000 a day. If we do, it'll be a major miracle. And you know what? It's Thanksgiving week. We're not no pressure, man. That's the way I look at it. No pressure this week. Clarence wants to apologize to the entire world, I'm sure, even though he won't because he's not decent enough to do it, for being a schmuck. He ought to be in that room where they're dismembering and chopping and stuff like that.
You're very whiny.
Of course, if they tried to chop his balls off, it probably wouldn't have much success because, you know, where there's no sense, there's no feeling. You have to have the equipment. 584 votes. What do you feel most guilty about? Not regret. See? You see the difference? Probably not.
No.
Most guilty about nothing, 274. That's what I voted. I don't
Me
feel
too.
Guilty about anything.
Me too.
Feel a little guilty about working for this outfit, but nevertheless. Drinking too much, 138. That's what you should have voted.
I don't feel guilty about that.
Oh. Cheating on my sponsored partner, 63. I hate this poll. So far, 58%, 9.9, just barely under 10%. We'll get that down. Get it down. I voted for Bush. 28 people feel guilty about that, and rightfully so. And we're going to track your ass down. Cheating on my taxes, 12, and I never vote, 11. Probably bitch and bellyache and moan about this one and that one, but they never bother to vote because they're lazy, okay? They're lazy, and they make excuses. Oh, well, my vote won't make any difference, or, you know, crap like that. A lot of people. That's in last place, though. And, of course, there are people who never vote because they figure it's a total waste of time, and they're all pretty much the same anyway. And you know something? Maybe they do have a point.
That would be my point of view.
Right. You didn't vote in this last election, did you? Neither did I, because there was nothing to vote for. I could have voted absentee like I did in the presidential election. I didn't do it. What am I going to vote for?
I voted in the last presidential election.
Yeah, like I just said, so did I. I don't know if it got counted or not. Probably not.
Yeah.
10:13 at 560 WQM. It's a Tuesday. We got the Mad Dog at 2. Now, he's not on today.
Don't look at
us. Okay. No, I'm telling you right now, he's not on today. Who told me that? Where did I hear that? I heard somebody say that.
Little birdie fly in the window?
You might want to double, a little bird sitting on my balcony right now. A little pigeon just dropped something. He said the message in it is a no mad dog. I don't know.
Well, we'll hear from Curtis soon enough then.
Power Hour with Hank at 4, and then the Humper 5 to 7 to 11. And then we got the Hurricane Crab. College Tailgate at 9 o'clock, presented by the FedEx Orange Bowl. And I'm sure there'll be a lot about Brady Quinn. We got a new Brady Quinn picture on our MySpace. Eddie K at 10 tonight. No ball games. No Panther games. The Panthers with a rare victory last night on the road. How do you like that? Any interest?
No. I'm going to kick his ass and then I'll steal his toupee.
All right, welcome back to the Mo Howard and David Show on your More Mucus Station. Well, we got a special guest journalist today.
Oh, no! Not Arthur Fiedler again.
That's Jay Fiedler, you numbskull.
Ow!
And that ain't him either.
Costas?
I'm even tired of dropping his name.
But how was the ratings party?
I don't want to talk about it.
Why? Was it...
I thought it was an all-nude ratings party.
Huh?
Clarence told me everybody there was going to be in the nudes, so I shows up naked, and everybody ran out of there.
Yeah, because she shows up naked.
He told Luann the same thing.
Oh, yeah, well...
Oh, here comes our special guest, Pharrell, right? Well, what do you know? What do you say?
You know, this here's got to be one of the premier radio shows on the air today.
Why, of course.
Oh, the farts and the bites. You guys are a panic, huh?
What farts and bites?
He's talking about Neil's show, Mo.
Hey, let me tell you something. Blah. Watch out for that spooge huffer. That guy there is gayer than laughter.
Whoa, get a load of them hooters.
What? There's no broads allowed in here. This here's a sports station.
Button the top of your shirt.
All right, is that better?
And your zipper's down.
What, on my pants?
No, on your toupee.
Oh, I suppose you want to rape me now, huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Everybody else wants me for their receptacle. Why not you? There you go.
No chance, you old bastard. I see enough of these gazes in Boca every day. I want your job.
My job?
Yeah.
Why, that's a different kind of rape. I'll have you know I'm the king of the station, and you have the gold. Who are these cagoons? All he has, get out of here. Hey, whoop.
Hello, Mo.
Greg, what's the meaning of this?
These large fellas are here to escort you outside.
Oh, but Greg, you gave me the keys to the kingdom. I'm the king.
Why, of course, Mo. You can always count on me.
Yeah.
Miss Carlos and Tim.
Come on, sister. Let's go.
Hey, get your paws off me. Drop that in tight blue.
Oh, and just one other thing before you go.
What's the noise?
Take him away, fella.
Now, maybe we'd like to see him in one of those chairs over there in Slovakia. What do you think?
Okay.
Maybe the first thing they would do would take off the old hairpiece. They probably would remove that right away. 627 votes on the poll today. What do you think? You think we have an outside shot at making 1,000 by 2 o'clock? Maybe.
I think we got it in the bag, man.
Now, what did we find out about? Is Curtis on today?
Oh, we didn't find out anything. Oh, Curtis is on today. And tomorrow.
Really?
That's right.
How come nobody is...
It's being shouted to me right now. So.
By?
Yeah, but I was getting food, so I couldn't tell
by Miguel,
about.
Yeah.
Oh. What do you mean you were getting food?
Thank you, Howie.
No. Thought it was something new and exciting. Oh, and not to take Howie's for granted, but that, you know, we just take them for granted. Thanks a lot, Howie's. After you sent over enough free food for years and years, we just take them for granted. Don't figure it's like anything special. It's very good always, of course, isn't it, guys? Yes.
Absolutely.
But nevertheless, what did he say?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
627 votes on the poll. So anyway, getting back to hostel, if you have an appetite for blood and gore and naked chicks, you'll like it. Otherwise,
who
it's,
doesn't?
Like I said, prominent anti-Syrian Christian political Pierre Gemayel was assassinated in the suburb of Beirut today, his party's radio station reported. Let's see, his party's radio station, wouldn't that be magic? His fatal shooting will certainly heighten the political tension in Lebanon, where the leading Muslim Shiite party, Hezbollah, has threatened to topple the government if he doesn't get a bigger say in cabinet decision-making. Gemayel was rushed to a nearby hospital, seriously wounded, but died. Gemayel, the minister of industry and son of former President Amin Gemayel, was a member of the Falange Party. That sounds like something having to do with a male member, Falange, doesn't it?
Very
and
close.
Supporter of the, what?
Very close.
And support of the anti-Syrian parliamentary majority, which is locked in a power struggle with pro-Syrian factions led by Hezbollah. So there you go again. These ragheads over here and those ragheads over there. So anyway, getting back to this movie again, what is it that you liked about it, besides all the naked chicks and the blood and guts?
I actually think it's a pretty good story.
What was the story?
I don't know. It makes you think, you know, next time you go to Europe.
Oh, yeah. I know I'm going to be canceling all my trips to Europe and certainly not going to be going to Slovakia anytime soon.
Well, we don't exactly picture you staying at a hostel either.
Well, it had nothing to do with the fact that they were staying there. Although the two chicks, and beware of the, beware of those real nasty sluts, I guess, is the message in the hostel.
That's right.
Because they were the ones that conned them in there.
Lure
they sucked
you
them in,
in,
so to speak. And they lured them to that place. And come to find out, that place was not just torture museum, but there was, like, real torture going on. And the severing body parts and chopping this and that. And that's what it's all about. Eli Roth was the director, but Quentin Tarantino got his name on this somehow because they showed a quick clip of about 2 seconds of Pulp Fiction in the background of one scene. I think it was the Amsterdam scene where they were putting mayonnaise on the body parts. Yeah, they were sticking the fingers in mayonnaise. I'm not going to say that I regret having watched it, but it was one of the just smarmiest, it was like 2 steps away from Trainspotting, and I wouldn't watch that.
Now, that's a good flick.
Yeah, right.
I'm telling you.
Listen,
if you got past the, you know, you might like it.
I don't want to see some guy fishing around in the toilet bowl for what he just left behind or somebody else. I'm not into that, okay? It's just not my bag, okay? It's not my cup of tea. Anyway, getting to the big story. Well, maybe everybody will watch Hostel since they're not going to get to see the two-part O.J. movie on Fox.
Well, they need something to do now.
I think he would enjoy that movie, wouldn't you think? It's right up his alley.
Yes, it is.
A lot of body parts, a lot of blood and guts. And
now, how much would you pay to take it to O.J.? That's a good
How much
one.
Would I pay to take him over there and put him in the same situation and chop him up into little pieces?
That's right.
Oh, at least 20 grand. You'd probably chip in 20 cent.
Yes, I would.
Maybe even more than that.
About 30, man.
30 cent. After a firestorm of criticism, News Corp said Monday that it canceled the O.J. Simpson book and TV special, If I Did It, If Chickens Peed. I and senior management agree with the American public that this was an ill-considered project, said Rupert Murdoch, News Corp's unctuous chairman. We're sorry for any pain this has caused the families of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. You notice everybody now, the new deal is, they're apologizing. Have you noticed that? This is the whole deal. You got Michael, what's his name, is apologizing?
Richards.
Richards. Denise Richards. And now we got this Schmirrell. Is apologizing that we're going to put this crap on air, Rupert Murdoch.
I apologize.
Right.
Yeah, we could play the Michael Richards apology if you'd like.
But we won't.
Okay.
Listen, maybe you want to spend a whole bunch of time on that crap.
Hey, what's the number one red story on the website?
A dozen Fox affiliates had already said they would not air the two-part Sweeps Month special plan for next week before the November 30th publication of the book by Regan Books. The publishing house is a HarperCollins imprint owned, just like the Fox Network, by News Corp and Rupert Murdoch. That slimeball. That money-grabbing maniac. In the project, Simpson speaks in hypothetical terms about how he would have committed the 94 slayings of his ex-wife Nicole and his friend Goldman. Relatives of the victims have lashed out at the now scuttled publication and broadcast plans. And Fred Goldman's got like a regular segment there on the King Show. Every night he's on there acting outrage, thanking the American public for their outrage and canceling the... And on and on. You know, it almost makes you lose your sympathy for the whole... for him. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he should have killed Fred instead of Ron. You know, at least Ron was a young guy, had his whole life ahead of him. Good young Jewish guy. But Fred, he's just starting to get on my nerves. And that mustache... Ever see him and John Bolton together? Absolutely the same guy. I say send both of them over to Slovakia. Strap him down. What do you feel most guilty about? Now, did I leave anything off of this, guilty thing?
Let's, I don't know. Nothing in my opinion.
Well, think about it. 649 votes, nothing, 308. I don't feel guilty about anything. That's good. Have a clear conscience, even if you're a miserable son of a bitch. Drinking too much, 152. Cheating on my spouse or partner, 69. Well, maybe they don't feel guilty about it because they enjoyed it a lot and they're going to keep doing it. I hate this poll. 65, 10%. That's bad. That is really bad. I voted for Bush, 32. Cheating on my taxes, 12. And I never vote, only 11.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560, QAM.
Neil.
Hey, Bert, is that you?
Coming to a theater near you.
Bert, are you in the basement?
Just in time for Halloween. Nightmare on Sesame Street, Part 6, The Revenge of Bert. Nightmare on Sesame Street, brought to you by the letter A, as in...
10:32 at 5:60. Of course, that's almost as scary as Hostel, but not quite. Probably better scripted, but never nonetheless. So anyway, the final line in that story, Fred Goldman says, of O.J., he destroyed my son, took from my family Ron's future in life, and for that I'll hate him always and find him despicable.
Well,
you think
good.
We need to hear any more about how Fred feels about O.J.? No.
But you're gonna.
Andre Waters, did you see this story?
Yeah, I did. I don't remember him.
I don't either. Miguel probably remembers because he's a big football guy.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Do you remember Andre Waters?
No.
A graduate of Pahokee High School who spent most of his 12 seasons in the NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles died early yesterday in Tampa. He was 44. The Hillsborough County Medical Examiner conducted an autopsy. He said he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. He had been working as assistant football coach in Georgia at Fort Valley State University school spokeswoman Cindy Gamble said. I don't want to make light of it, but if you happen to be working in Georgia, you probably blow your brains out too. Waters joined the Eagles out of Cheney State. Or is that Cheney State? If anybody watch a hardball, Chris Matthews, that idiot with his politics, he calls Cheney, Cheney, Vice President Cheney. Why does he do that? Just to be aggravating or because he's an a-hole? God, do I hate Chris Matthews. Well, you sure hate a lot of people, Neil. That is correct. Waters joined the Eagles out of Cheney State in 84 and played with them at cornerback and safety through 93. Spent his last two seasons with the Arizona Cardinals. No wonder he blew his brains out. Waters, who was born in Belgrade, was in his first year coaching at Fort Valley State. Many students, including football players, aren't on campus this week because of Thanksgiving. Football coach DeAndre Clark lauded Waters for an outstanding college career that enabled him to make the NFL. He also coached at Morgan State, South Florida, and Alabama State before coming to Fort Valley State this summer. He blew his brains out. Arizona Cardinals and Georgia, put all those components together and you got components for suicide, blowing your brains out. So now it's like working at QAM, we're working for clearance. Isn't that something that I have to, we have to do an investigation to find out who's on the schedule today?
It's something.
And like he had to call Miguel at home and wake him out of a dead sleep yesterday to bring him in. But I'm sure that Joe figures, you know, we're just making this all up. Yeah, we're making it up, Joe, because we're troublemakers and we're bad guys. We're evil.
Well, you are a troublemaker.
Yeah, no question about that. An agent provocateur. Guess what country in the world, other than Slovakia, I'm sure, is the most unfriendly country to visitors?
What would that be?
Well, I'll give you a guess.
Would that be this one?
Yes. Rude immigration officials and visa delays keep millions of foreign visitors away from the U.S., hurt the country's already battered image, and cost the U.S. billions of dollars in lost revenue, according to an advocacy group formed to push for a better system. To drive home the point, the Discover America Partnership released the result of a global survey yesterday, which showed that international travelers see the U.S. as the world's worst country in terms of getting a visa, and once you get one, making it your way past rude immigration officials. The survey of 2011 international travelers in 16 countries was conducted by RT Strategies, a Virginia-based polling firm for the Discover America Partnership, a group launched in September with multi-million-dollar backing from a range of companies that include the Intercontinental Hotels Group, Anheuser-Busch, and Walt Disney Parks and Resorts. The survey showed that the U.S. was ranked the worst in terms of visas and immigration procedures by twice the percentage of travelers as the next destination regarded as unfriendly, the Middle East and the Asian subcontinent. You know, like Lebanon, like that. Or Saudi Arabia. Or Iraq. More than half the travelers surveyed said U.S. immigration officials were rude, and two-thirds said they feared they would be detained on arriving in the U.S. for a simple mistake in their paperwork or for saying the wrong thing to an immigration official, like, up yours, you schmuck. The survey was taken between October 25th and November 9th against the backdrop of growing concerns in parts of the U.S. business community over a steady decline in the number of foreigners visiting the U.S., eh? You don't think that one of the reasons for that might be that, thanks to El Presidente, that most of the people around the rest of the world hate the U.S. like poison now? And isn't it ironic that Jay Hernandez was the only one that got out of that thing alive in that movie? Oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I? He got out alive at the end, thank God. I liked him. He was all right. Wasn't great, but he was okay. He was no Brady Quinn. And by the way, whoever sent that new picture there on our MySpace, they said, what do you think? And my response was, like that. That's what I think. that's right. That was exactly what I thought. I would like send you that picture again, although you could do it yourself. You could put that on our, but don't do it. Let's not overdo it.
Okay, yeah, let's not.
No, we don't want you to feel like, you know, Josh should be responsible for putting the naked pictures of Brady Quinn on there. We don't want to hurt his image. He's very uptight about that. 800, what is that? Oh, 600. See, ordinarily it would be 8, but it's 6. 667. I wonder how long Eric is going to have that problem. Maybe you want to find out from him if he's in the little window or wherever the hell he is.
He is in the window.
Yeah, find out if he's going to, if I can fax him the poll for tomorrow or as if we're going to have another situation today. Not that it
well,
may,
he wants
not
me
that
to send him a text fax, but
test
the problem is...
Fax.
A test, you schmuck. Yeah, text fax.
There you go.
What other kind is there?
But for, I don't know. Picture? I guess I don't have the authorization code here, and his number isn't in the machine for some reason.
How about if I say, if I'll during the break,
why
I'll send
you do
a fax.
It? Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And say, how's this coming, schmuck? Did this come through there? You bozo. Now, Eric's okay. Just it doesn't make any difference. It's a holiday week, and even if it weren't a holiday week, or like, do we get paid based on the poll result? Of course not. Who the hell cares? I just do that to aggravate George because I know he's always going to say, I don't care, you know, like we don't know that. Not that George is selfish or, no, George is actually pretty generous. You know, like on my birthday, he sends me all this useless crap all the time.
Very
don't
generous.
Tell him this. Don't tell him I said this, and I'm sure he's not listening, but you know that thing he sent me for my MP3 player?
What was it, like
iPod?
A docking station?
Yeah, no, it wasn't a docking station. It was that case, you know. Like
yeah,
one
that
of
carrying
those,
case.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I gave it away to a friend of mine. I'm like, what do I need that for? I already got a rubber one.
Well, it's the thought that counts.
I got a rubber one.
It's rubber.
If you like her, rubber. But at any rate, 678 votes, so I will send Eric a test fax during the next break. I guess he just wants to see if his fax thing is working or not. Isn't that what that's all about?
That's what that's all about.
Yeah, well, if it doesn't work, I guess he won't get it. I could just play with his head and not send him one and pretend that I didn't. And yeah, but he gets so damn emotional. Must be that Japanese wife. 22 before 11. And what about that poor Japanese chick who lost her eye there in a flick and jumped in front of the train at the end? That was so predictable, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was poorly done.
A little exaggerated having to go that far just because of a bad eye.
No, but it was poorly done. I mean, you knew from the time that she saw the reflection in the glass.
Right. You knew what was next.
And she thought to herself,
oh, my God.
Boy, do I look like crap worse than usual. And then you see the train is coming down the track. That one car, you know, is coming up the track like a bat out of hell.
Right.
And you know, there's no doubt.
Hey, but you know what? It helped him get the hell out of there.
Yeah, it helped my buddy Jay Hernandez get out of there, who's Mexican, by the way. He's not Cuban, so just calm down. And not a great... There was, you can't complain about the acting in the movie because there wasn't any. It was cheesy, but, you know, I guess, like I said, I enjoyed it. It got a 5.8 on IMDb out of 10, which is a very weak number. And there are some glowing reviews on there. People have just loved it, who are the blood and guts crowd. And then there are just many, many just revolted and reviled and grossed out. And blah. And then if you read the reviews, it's funny about being in the theater with some people that, like, start puking their guts out, running to the toilet and stuff like that. I mean,
oh, nice.
What kind of a wuss do you have to be to
Seriously.
Start puking? It's a freaking movie, for crying out loud, okay? I mean, yeah, it was gross. There was a lot of blood and guts and body parts and
but it's fake.
Like that. Gratuitously, of course. But then again, Quentin Tarantino had something to do with it, so it would always be gratuitous violence.
Oh, my God, your breasts are beautiful.
Well, congratulations. Get a life.
I want to play a game. Oh, yes. There will be blood.
He is one of the most sadistic killers in history. Now he's returned for the third installment of this trilogy of terror.
Oh, my God, this place is a mess. Whoa, and what's with me being chained to a wall?
Jessica Simpson, pain and suffering are words that you've inflicted on millions of people with your awful music.
Whatever.
Now, the time has come for pain and suffering to be placed upon you.
I don't get it.
I want to play a game.
Cool, I like games.
Saw 3.
Are we gonna play Risk?
No.
Monopoly?
No.
Yahtzee?
No.
Checkers?
No.
Saw 3, starring Jessica Simpson.
Okay, before we start this game, I just have to say that you need to send over maid service. This place is a pigsty. Seriously, this place is so not me.
Please shut up.
I mean, a 5-star hotel, this definitely is not.
Stop talking, please.
See the movie that will make you scream.
I just unlocked the door for you. The keys to unlock the chains are in your back pocket. Use them and get out, please. I have a massive headache.
Do you know of any good manicurists in the area? I totally chipped a nail.
Good God, leave.
Saw 3.
10:46, 14 before 11 o'clock. But there's nothing like gratuitous violence and blood and guts. You know, that's what does it for me. Not. I mean, like comparing Match Point with that piece of crap Hostel that I watched last night. There's no comparison.
None.
Match Point was a story. There was a story to it. There was no story in Hostel.
No.
Just like a lot of disconnected scenes and like a lot of bad acting. And although the little kids were funny that wanted the bubble gum, you know. See, the whole message there, it's like to discourage stupid Americans who've never been abroad, who've never been anywhere. Oh, don't go to Europe, and especially don't go to, like, Slovakia, because they, you know, you'll get kidnapped and beaten up by gangs of rogue kids.
Yeah, but actually, if you take a pack of gum with you, you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's right. Take some juicy fruit.
Yeah.
6 Muslim imams were removed from a U.S. Airways flight at Minneapolis-St. Paul yesterday and questioned by police for several hours before being released. The 6 were among passengers aboard Flight 300 bound for Phoenix around 6:30 p.m., airport spokesman Pat Hogan said. A passenger initially raised concerns about the group through a note passed to a flight attendant, according to Andrea Rader, a spokeswoman for U.S. Airways. She said police were called after the captain and airport security workers asked the men to leave the plane, and the men refused. They took us off the plane, humiliated us in a very disrespectful way, said Omar Shaheen of Phoenix, as opposed to humiliating them in a respectful way.
Right.
Oh, there's your buddy.
I didn't talk to all of everyone. They left. And I don't know how to get in touch with those people. And then, of course, they've gone to press, as I think they should. The fact that there's that kind of solidarity and confronting that kind of those kinds of remarks, I think it's important for the Afro-American community.
Yeah, he's very upset that they were offended by it, you know. Just like the Pope, like we said yesterday. I don't want to hear about Mike Richards. I don't know who he is. I don't care about Seinfeld, about Jerry Seinfeld, about any of that. I don't care. And I know that I'm supposed to care because the media now tells us what we're supposed to be interested in, and they're just beating this thing into the ground, you know. Oh, he has said the N-word and F-word. Yeah, well, big deal.
Oh, let's hear what Sinbad thinks.
And Michael's doing his thing. I don't understand. When he says he was angry and he's not a racist, you know, there's not that much anger at a heckler. It was a heckler, man, and right. He wasn't even heckling hard.
He was heckling softly.
Crazy, man. I mean, he went like... It wasn't an accidental slip, man, because he kept going and going and going.
Well, he admits that he flew into a rage, but he says, it's so surprising that that happened because I'm not a racist. But if there isn't some racial tinge...
No, there's no racial... Just because he said the N-word 400 times, there's no racial tinge there at all, okay? It's more than a tinge. Who cares? It's like the Mark Furman thing, you know? Did you ever say the N-word? No, I never said the N-word. Do you know anybody who never said the N-word, including black people?
No.
I don't know.
Black people say it the most, so that's not a good comparison. But
yeah, but if they say it, it's okay. Like, if I call somebody a faggot, then it's okay. But if somebody calls me a fag or a queer or like...
You fairy!
That's bad. I could care less. The six Muslim scholars on this plane were returning from a conference in Minneapolis of the North American Imams Federation. Wow! Said Shaheen, president of the group. Five of them were from the Phoenix-Tempe area, while one was from Bakersfield, California, the North American Imams Federation, the Getchkes Club. Well, there was a show on last night about the Freemasons. Didn't watch it. You know, the guys that, like, have the magic handshake and they do the thing and scratch the palm of their hand?
Okay.
It's not with their finger either. You ought to see what they use to scratch their palm. Anyway... Three of them stood and said their normal evening prayers together on a plane. That's what really freaks people out, okay? I told you about that experience I had in Amsterdam a couple of years ago. More than a couple of years. It was back maybe within a year after 9/11 when everybody was getting freaked out, those of us who travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And these schmata heads are there in the waiting area. And they get out their magic carpet or whatever the hell, and they're like getting down on the floor there and doing their... We're right in the middle of everybody, you know? Take it off to the side.
Really?
Take it out. Get lost. Yeah. Take it in the turlet. The three of them stood and said their normal evening prayers together on the plane, as 1.7 billion Muslims around the world would do every day, Shaheen said. He attributed any concerns by passengers or crude ignorance about Islam. This is just like the people who want to force religion and prayer into the schools, you know. If you want to believe in crap, you're entitled to believe in it, okay? But do your religious caca in the appropriate place. Don't caca on the plane in the middle of everybody else. It freaks people out. I never felt bad in my life like that, he said. I never. Six imams, six leaders in this country, six scholars in handcuffs. It's terrible, he said. Terrible. Ibrahim Hooper, a spokesman for the Washington-based Council on American Islamic Relations, expressed anger with the detentions. We will be filing a complaint with relevant authorities in the morning over the treatment of the imams to determine whether the incident was caused by anti-Muslim hysteria by the passengers and or the airline crew, he said. Because, unfortunately, this is a growing problem of singling out Muslims or people perceived to be Muslims at airports, and it's one we've been addressing for some time. Hooper said the meeting drew about 150 imams from all over the country, and that those attending included U.S. Representative-elect Keith Ellison, Democrat from Minneapolis, who just became the first Muslim elected to Congress. Shaheen said they went as far as notifying police and the FBI about their meeting in advance. Shaheen expressed frustration that despite extensive efforts by him and other Muslim leaders since even before 9/11 terrorist attacks, so many Americans know so little about Islam. Well, ask the Pope. He'll explain it to you. He'll tell you all about it. If up to now they don't know about prayers, this is a real problem, he said. But what would you do if you're, like, on a plane waiting to take off and some schmata gets out and starts, like, puts his ass up in the air?
I'd probably start laughing out loud.
No. Reached by his cell phone just after his release, Shaheen said he didn't know where they would spend the night or how they would try to get back to Phoenix today. Hooper said U.S. Airways refused to put the men on another flight. Hogan said more information will be released today. The other passengers on the flight, which was carrying 141 passengers and five crew, were rescreened for boarding, Raider said. The plane took off about 3 hours after the men were removed from the flight. If you don't want people to single you out and treat you like some kind of crazy people, don't act like crazy people. That's my best suggestion to you, okay? Don't be davening and getting down on the ground and whipping around your magic carpet and do all of this
all of these
crap.
Things.
713 votes on the poll. I think you may be right. We may have an outside shot at that 1,000 today in spite of... Oh, you know what I forgot to do? Probably Eric's all freaked out and I forgot to send him a test fax.
Oh, well.
What, would he say something?
No, he hasn't replied to me yet.
During this next break, I promise, Eric, I'll send you a test fax and saying, how this be? All right, maybe that, or I'll just go back and watch Hostel again, although I didn't record it. During the next hour, I'll just go over to the video store and I'll buy a copy of it, buy a DVD, and watch it again to see if I missed anything.
Like it that much, huh?
I'm not saying that I didn't like it. It just was, when it finished, I thought,
whatever, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That sums it up very well, whatever, you know. I watched it. I don't regret it. It killed a couple hours of time. It made me, weary enough to go to bed and fall asleep instantly. And it just, left me a little limp. Left me a little on the limp side. It had the potential for if they developed the characters a little bit more, you know.
Yes.
Wouldn't you think? Like the freaky professor guy, whatever the hell he was, you know, the one with the daughter that put his hand on the kid's leg on the train.
And they decided to concentrate on boobs and killing, you know.
Yeah, boobs and blood, man. That's what it's all about. It's the old B&B. I think a lot of people, after they watch that movie, want to open up their own B&B. Boobs and bloodbath is where it's at. Maybe that's what they mean when they say they want to go to the baths, although usually when the priests say that, it's a different kind of bath. It's where guys run around naked all together. Speaking of naked, have we got that picture up of Brady Quinn yet or not?
I don't know what you're talking about.
If you could see the... desktop here. It's just, it's almost embarrassing, and there's almost nothing that to embarrass me. And he ought to be a little embarrassed, too, because let's face it, although he does play, there's a lot of... I don't want to get into a racial thing. Now would not be a good time for that. But you'll notice in this picture, he's got boxer shorts on, and he's got, like, regular gym shorts on over them. And the gym shorts over the boxer shorts are about a couple of inches below the... You know what I'm saying?
That's how the youngsters do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he wants to be kind of a gangsta punk, a little bit. Not too much. Just a little bit on the punky side.
Were you leaning towards what Michael Richards said?
No, I was not. This is not the day to be starting in with some kind of a racial thing, okay? Don't be starting that. It's not a good idea. And now you don't have to play that clip that you had from Letterman Show because I already had enough of it on there to make me want to vomit. See, the movie didn't make me want to puke, but all the stuff about Mike Richards will. I'm retching from that, from Richards. Who cares, okay? So he went ballistic. I mean, there's just no justification for that. So he had a couple of hecklers in the crowd. He's not a stand-up comic to begin with. Didn't you tell me that?
That's what I hear.
Correct.
And that's what Miguel said. He's an expert on Seinfeld and other bad TV shows.
Well, that's what
you
heard
can't say that, Neil. Everybody loves Seinfeld. Even Tom Jicka loved it. Well, that proves my point. He loved Cheers, too, you know? Cheers. See, that's Tommy's barometer. If it's popular, then it must be really great, as far as TV shows are concerned. On radio, no. If it's popular, it must really suck. I'll tell you something that's great and consistently good, and that's the Emerald Coast Chinese Buffet. And now with the holiday, you know, I wonder if they got anything special coming up for Thanksgiving. And, of course, the fact that Brian Schmutz is in charge of this account now, there's no way I would ever find out about it.
By the way, I haven't seen him in, like...
No, you won't. You won't. Like my Brandy's copy, the date on the original piece of copy is March 21st. We won't get any copy change until hell freezes over, okay? Until the next Paleolithic age. It just isn't going to happen, man. Because we got a sales manager that doesn't give a crap about that, and we got a general manager who, like, basically winds everybody up like a wind-up doll or blow-up doll and just turns them loose no matter how much havoc they wreak on everybody else. And so it reeks. But anyway, what I started to say was...
This is the Neil Rogers Show. This is your brain. Any questions?
Soda and shampoo and coffee and water. Gel candles and teething rings for your daughter. Dump out that duty-free case of champagne. These are the things you can't take on a plane. Cheese whiz and hair gel and lip balm and toothpaste. Clearasil for all of those bits on your face. You have that sunburn but no solar cane. That's one more thing you can't take on a plane. At the airport, you'll be
my suggestion. Don't act like some kind of a religious nut, like a fanatic, if you're going to be on a plane with other people or like on a train or whatever. And if you're like sitting on a train with somebody who's basically a stranger, don't put your hand on their leg. It's not really a good idea.
No.
Although you notice later on when he had the kid sitting there in his shorts in that chair and torturing and poking and prodding, and he did the same thing again, then the kid got all freaked out. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if they're doing all these things with all these instruments and, like, torturing and dismembering, why the hell would that freak you out if they put their hand on your leg? That would be the least of the... You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I guess he thought he was about to perform some kind of a sexual act on him or something
like
that.
Well, no. Isn't that when he realized who that was?
Oh, that's when it finally dawned on him who it was?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, he's a little bit slow, wouldn't you say? A little slow on the uptake.
Well, you know.
Well, the good news is I would not put my hand on his leg. 750, or any other part, anywhere near him. 750 votes on the poll. I think we got a shot today, you know what? Even 2 days before Thanksgiving. Oh, and you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to send Eric a... You know, I'm going to do it right now.
Jesus.
No. Well, I get sidetracked.
I'm typing them in
the
box. I'm like, did you get the facts? I mean...
Let me do it now. Eric, here's a test, schmuck. Okay, I'm writing it out. No, if I don't do it now, I'll forget.
Okay, one moment, please.
All right. I was looking for an instrumental there, but it saved me.
Just keep the open going here.
Okay, it's in the machine. It's in the machine. I've got the thing percolating. Can you hear it beeping? Pop, 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 beep, beep, beep. You hear it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we'll know if it went through or not, because if it doesn't go through, then it's just never going to start with that, you know, that noise. That sounds like the QM signal on a bad day on 441. It's not doing anything yet. Oh, there it is. All right.
All right.
I think it's going to go through. I just wrote, Eric, here's a test. He'll let you know right away if he got it. And that means his thing is working. And one thing we want to be sure is Eric's thing is working so we can get the poll for tomorrow real early. Thursday, we won't be here, any of us. Now, let me ask you this. I know it's a stupid question. Anybody seen Clarence? Did he come back from his basketball adventures
yet? Yes, he was here early this morning.
Was he really?
Yes.
Well, then how come we didn't have a revised schedule telling us that Mad Dog won't be on today or tomorrow? He's not cutting it, baby. This man is not cutting it. He belongs in that chair in Slovakia. Okay, the thing has gone through. I got the beep on there, which means it is sent. Any second now, you should be getting a message from Eric saying, whoa, I got it, or it didn't come through. Which, if it didn't come through, I can just, I don't know what I'll do.
Now, he's, like, disappeared. He stopped replying.
He vanished?
Yes.
Well, you do understand, he doesn't have a regular fax machine. It's on his computer.
Yes.
So that's probably why he can't, like, walk and chew gum at the same time. 754 votes on the poll today, which is not the same as yesterday, but much too close, and I apologize for that. Since it's everybody's apologizing now. That's the new thing. Everybody does something, although this is hardly anything to...
I apologize.
...have to apologize for. And Sean apologizes, the guy that sends in our polls. Thank God for him. 754. Now, do we want to do, again, one of those cornball Thanksgiving polls this year? I don't want to do that. What are you most thankful for this year? You know, like, my friends and family, I won the lotto, some stupid crazy. We don't want to do it. By the way, the sun is shining.
Ow!
Oh, my God, this must be a mistake today.
And the weather here is great.
Yeah, pretty chilly. You know, when I woke up this morning, it was like -2 Celsius, 28 degrees Fahrenheit.
Tipped into the 40s last night here. I had the windows open.
And right now it's +2. It's all the way up to 35. Not bad. Going to be over 40 today, and then in the middle of the week, it's going to be in the 50s. And sunny.
And here I had the windows open.
And right now it's +2. It's all the way up to 35. Not bad. Going to be over 40 today, and then in the middle of the week, it's going to be in the 50s. And sunny. It's been kind of gray. And depressing.
Yay.
Anyway, did you get a message from Eric saying I got the facts and everything's working just fine or not?
Not a damn thing.
Whoa. That doesn't sound too promising, does it? And I agree with that. Guilt is a terrible thing. Even if you went out and killed a bunch of people, I mean, you know, you did it. You can't bring them back to life. You can't undo it, right?
Correct.
If you ran over a bunch of baby ducklings crossing the road, well, you know, maybe you didn't see them. Or at least convince yourself you didn't see them. Rationalize. Nothing you can do now. To atone for your sins. Nothing, 367. Drinking too much, 172. Got a lot of cheap drunks out there in the audience, and no question about that. Cheating on my spouse or partner, 82. Again, the question is, what do you feel most guilty about? And, of course, if it was real good, and maybe the poll could be the PC, the poll commission. By the way, after 2 o'clock, Josh is going to play for the Richards. Mike Richards. Whatever his name is. Mitch Sahili.
We have him live via satellite.
Yes, I voted for Bush. I'm guilty about that. 34 said that. And you ought to feel guilty. You got blood on your hands. Not as much blood as in that movie last night, but almost. I'm so shocked that either one of you not only saw the movie, but even ever heard of it. I thought it was pretty obscure. But then when you look on IMDb, there's like 12 pages of reviews of it.
Don't be surprised I see new school movies. I do.
New school, my ass. Anyway, I never vote 14, and of course the people that never vote probably just as well. And cheating on my taxes, only 13. And of course a lot of people feel that, why would they want to give their money to the government anyway so they can use it to kill some people and go out there and flush it down the toilet and waste it and fritter it away and give it off to Halliburton and Bechtel and Dick Cheney and all these other billionaires. So if they did cheat on their taxes, maybe they did it with a good reason, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Speaking of people who aren't all that anxious to serve their country because their government is corrupt, inducting millions of young men for service. Like if we decide to go into Iran and then North Korea and then like Syria and then Canada, you know, Mexico. Wouldn't you think that would be one of the real good solutions to stop the... and of course, the troops wouldn't have to travel like halfway around the world like they do to Iraq. Stop this illegal immigration crap from Mexico. Is just go in there and bomb the crap out of them. Wouldn't you say that's a good idea? Just making sure that Jay Hernandez is still on this side of the border. He is all right. Really great actor. The Selective Service System, an agency independent of the Defense Department, says it's ready to respond. And the scene where they were like in the hostel in the beginning where they were running around naked, everybody's getting laid, which there was a hell of a lot of that in the movie. Although they didn't seem too happy about it when you come right down to it. But when they were running around naked, I noticed that he was hairless, Jay Hernandez. Now, so he must either be waxing it or shaving it, would you think?
Oh, yeah.
No. The Selective Service System, an agency independent of the Defense Department, says it's ready to respond quickly to any crisis that would threaten to overwhelm the current all-volunteer military. We're the fire department, said spokesman Pat Schuback at the service headquarters in Arlington, Virginia. We're prepared to do the mission with whatever time period we're asked to do it. Our current plan is 193 days, and that was based on manpower analysis. With an active list of more than 15 million names, Schuback said an estimated 93% of all men in the U.S. between 18 and 26 have registered for the selective services required by law, Josh. Anyway, I just mentioned that in passing. Oh, we can't have the draft back. Have your ass drafted and sent off to Iraq, although you'd probably keep in touch. Did Eric get the facts or not?
I'd come up there to T.O. Well, he hasn't written me if he did.
Come on, Eric. Quit playing hardballs, will you please? Can't believe that. I mean, it went through. I know that. What did it say? It said, Eric, this is a test. Now, that's all. And plus it would say, this number and the whole deal on it, the whole ball of wax. Speaking of wax jobs. Yeah, somebody wrote that on our MySpace page. And by the way, I hate to break the news to you, although I'm sure Miguel reads them all religiously because he's got, a lot of time on his hands because he's promotions director and we don't do any promotions on QAM. We do a lot of make work or busy kind of stuff, We don't really promote anything. Have you noticed that?
That's you, Miguel.
Since the new regime came in, we have no... I'm not talking about... He's not responsible for that, for, like, ad campaigns, are you?
Well, we have newspaper ads out.
We do? And what do they say?
Our lineup, actually.
Wow. Well, listen, so Clarence, obviously, because he's AWOL all the time now, he's not going to tell us what the real lineup is, so look in the newspaper. Maybe that's part of the game we're playing. Look in the newspaper. You'll find out who's on first and who's going to be on. Curtis for Mad Dog today and tomorrow. And then, of course, on Thursday, we got nobody's going to be on Thursday.
Eric
and
has then, your facts. Eric has your facts.
Well, thank God. Nice going, Eric. And he probably had to waddle a little bit, when he weighs 600 pounds, although he lost an ounce or two, is what George tells me. Haven't seen Eric in a long time. And let's keep it that way, sweetheart. Let's keep it that way. He's a good guy, but, a monster in the industry. 773 votes on that poll. Like, what did I say? We need 850 by noon? Well, maybe 8 something. We got to break 800, and what we got? 774. Oh, that's a piece of cake. That's a given. I think we're going to do it today.
Oh!
2 days before Thanksgiving, they break 1,000 votes on the poll, even though yesterday Eric was all discombobulated. And I couldn't fax him the poll. Do you think the audience cares about any of this?
No.
No, about as much as I do. None. But it's like a little bit of drama. It's like in that movie, At least it's like a mystery, like a part of the plot. It's enough to make you plots. We didn't really get to see very much of the countryside, did we?
No.
In Slovakia. We didn't get to see anything in Amsterdam. I mean, they were in some... I mean, that scene in the coffee house was so embarrassing. That was really bad, you know? That was so... You guys here to get stoned? No. No, nobody goes to Amsterdam to get stoned. We're just here looking for a few laughs, you know? And they're passing the bong around. It just was so overdone. And that should tell you right from the beginning, if you kept watching it, you got whatever you deserved. You deserve to have a bloodbath on your hands if you kept watching. It was okay. Would I watch it again?
No.
No. I mean, there's some movies you watch and you think, I'd watch it again because I either liked it so much or because there's something I think I may have missed, you know? Like, what's the movie? Imaginary Heroes. Now, you didn't watch that, did you, Miguel?
Imaginary Heroes? No.
No. Well, why don't you bring it in? He'll watch it.
I will.
Bring it in. I don't have it. I give it back to George.
Well, like I said, George won't give that to Miguel because it's, you know, Miguel's with this Cuban thing. It's a little bit too...
Yay.
Too for Miguel. He won't. Can't handle it. I didn't think it was very,
gay.
You know, just that one scene there. And, of course, we don't see anything. They just wake up in the morning in the sack. That's probably a pretty good indication, you know, when you wake up in the sack in the morning with some guy.
Yeah. Well, he's not, but, you know, you might be.
That's right. That is a great line. And you notice, Josh liked it so much, he can recite the whole dialogue.
The biggest names, the best talent. Yes. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Tuck it in and hold it.
I've been standing in line for the past 147 days. I live with my mom. Star Wars, Revenge of the Sith. It's really awesome. And there's Darth Vader. C-3PO is in it, as well as R2-D2. There's gonna be lightsabers. And even Alec Guinness, who's been dead for many, many years. And there's other special effects. Oh, yeah. George Lucas is going to make $942 trillion and 27 cents. And the guy who was in line ahead of...
Sounds like a pile of Sith to me. Anyway, it's 1119 at 560 WQM. We got Curtis for the Mad Dog at 2. No Mr. Mad Dog today, or tomorrow, or Thursday. And I'm assuming, now let's see, he's listed on the schedule on Friday, I don't know. If I was him, I'd lay out. You know, when you think?
Yeah, just lay it out.
And how many shows a week does his contract require that, a year? How many years?
About 30, man.
30 shows a year, so I don't think there'll be any more this week. A third Marine has agreed to plead guilty to lesser charges in the killing of an unarmed Iraqi civilian whose body was left with an AK-47 and a shovel to look like an insurgent, the Marine's attorney said. See, that's one of the ways that you make countries free, that you spread democracy around the world.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. This is one of the ways that George Bush does it. We send a lot of American troops over there and we...
Kill some people.
Right. Lance Corporal Jerry Shumate Jr. was part of a squad of seven Marines and a sailor who were charged with kidnapping 52-year-old Hashim Ibrahim Awad in the rural Iraqi town of Hamadaniya. Boy, I sure was off my feet yesterday. I couldn't read anything right. You know, but it's just the way it is. I was so aggravated over that clearance business. Surprised I didn't have a stroke right here on the air. Anyway, dragging him into a roadside hole, shooting him, and then trying to cover it up. See, at least in the movie last night in Hostel, they were smart enough. Instead of just taking the body parts out and throwing them around town, you know, they put them in that big furnace there. They had that big old fire going.
Yes, they did.
Imagine it probably didn't smell too good in that joint, but nevertheless. At a court-martial today, Shumate was expected to plead guilty to new charges of aggravated assault and conspiracy to obstruct justice. See, like I said, it's Thanksgiving week. I can't read right. And testify about the incident. Under the deal, charges of murder, kidnapping, conspiracy, larceny, and assault will be dismissed, according to a civilian attorney, Steve Amell. Two other Marines and the Navy corpsman, who was on patrol with the squad, have pleaded guilty to lesser charges. The longest of any of the three has been ordered to serve 21 months. They testified they planned to kidnap and kill a known insurgent. When they couldn't get to him, some members of the squad went into a neighboring house and kidnapped Awad instead, whose prosecutors have described as a disabled father of 11 and a former police officer. Well, you know, we're going to kill somebody if we can't get the guy that we want. Let's just kill somebody else to make us feel better about it, right?
Okay.
Prosecutors say squad members tied Awad up, put him in a hole, and shot him, and then placed an AK-47 in his hands and a shovel in the hole to make it appear he was an insurgent planting explosives. The Pentagon began investigating shortly after Awad was killed in April. Four senior squad members still face kidnapping and murder charges. Oh. Zion America, baby. 790 votes on the poll. We're going to do it. We'll have way over 800 by noon. And if we can't do 150, 180 votes in 2 hours, then we might as well shut this baby down. Am I right?
I agree.
Shut this thing right off. Shut it down. Right now. You know, somewhere out there in this community, there's a murder on the loose?
At least one.
Are you aware of that?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I think that those of us here on All Sports Radio, we ought to do something about it. Let's appeal to his conscience, which obviously he doesn't have one. But now, let's see. That big game is on Thursday. The Hurricanes going to lose to Boston College, and then the old Cokehead's going to get his ass fired after that. Bye-bye, Larry. It's been a real treat. See, anybody who's dumb enough to come and coach UM football, they deserve to get their ass canned. Wouldn't you agree with that?
No.
No.
A U.S. District Court judge has ordered, yes, you would, but they just don't have the balls to say it on the air. A U.S. District Court judge has ordered the FBI to correct disclosures regarding the U.S. government's evacuation of Saudi royals and bin Laden family members after the 9/11 attacks in 2001, as we all recall. A conservative nonpartisan group announced yesterday, Judicial Watch, the public interest group that investigates and prosecutes government corruption, announced yesterday that U.S. District Court Judge Richard W. Roberts of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia has ordered the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, to submit proper disclosures to the court and Judicial Watch by December 15 concerning the U.S. government's evacuation of Saudi royals and members of the bin Laden family from the U.S. immediately following the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the group said in a press release obtained by Raj Story. Judicial Watch notes that Judge Roberts criticized the adequacy of redaction descriptions, the accuracy of the sworn statement submitted with the documents, the validity of exemption claims, and other errors in the FBI's disclosures. The FBI's 200-page annotated production and accompanying declaration together do not, as they must, provide sufficient detail or precision about the withheld information. The FBI's motion for summary judgment will be denied, and the FBI will be directed to file disclosures that fairly meet the requirements of court precedent, wrote Judge Roberts. He also added that one particular FBI exemption argument strains credulity. It strains credulity, just like the whole 9/11 story strains credulity. And the fact that all these schmatheads were allowed to get on planes and fly out of the country, get their ass out of here while the getting was good, while nobody else could fly, while the airports were shut down. According to a Judicial Watch, U.S. government documents reveal that 160 Saudis flew from the U.S. between 9/11 and September 15, 2001. While the rest of America was cooling its heels and nobody could get a flight to anywhere, these Saudis, 160 of them, flew out of the U.S. They vamoosed, baby. They got out of here while the getting was good. How do you like that, them ragheads? 800 votes on the poll at 11:24. Oh, there's Bill Cosby reminiscing about Ed Bradley.
Ed Bradley, giving you the nickname. He gave himself a nickname, Teddy.
Isn't he annoying as hell, Bill Cosby? I love, yes, Ed Bradley, but Bill Cosby, I could live without.
College mate of his who had graduated in 64. And
he is so lame, man, so lame. But you know something? It all comes back to one word. You know, like the Finnish say, like the Icelandics say, mazel.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. You got some luck, man. That's what's all. And don't forget what they said in Match Point. I'd rather be lucky than good.
And it works out for him.
So even the Picky Miguel liked that movie. I don't know what would be not to like. Of course, the fact that Scarlett Johansson was running around naked in part of the movie, that couldn't hurt.
That's a 10 right there.
No, I wish she was running around a little naked.
Yeah,
you
not enough.
See a little bit.
Not enough. I mean,
need some more there, you know?
In Hostel, there was maybe a little bit too much gratuitous boobies, which it all got to be pretty much the same after a while. And in Match Point, there wasn't enough boobies. And certainly there wasn't enough male nudity either, which, that's beside the point. He walked around in his underwear at one point, but we only saw, we didn't see nothing.
Yeah, we don't need that, just focus.
No,
on
God forbid we should see male nudity. That would be real bad, because only women and
you fairy
queens would want to see that. If you could see my wallpaper here, my desktop, you'd say, oh, what a queen. You'd say, well, I mean, it's just, I didn't know that it was going to pop up like that, you know what I'm saying? But it popped up. It was like 15 Brady Quinns, stark naked, well, almost.
What popped
close
up?
Close to it. So Bob Herbert writes in the New York Times, I don't have time for that right now. We've got to do the break. Wow, time is getting away from us, man. It's almost Thanksgiving. Like I said, I don't think I'm going to do that corny poll about it. Do you think so? That's bad.
Yeah, that's pretty cheese.
Oh. And, not one person. Now, when did they open? Was it last Monday or Tuesday? It was one day last week. when Gulfstream opened up the casino with the first real slot machines. There were a little bit on the news and in the papers about it, and oh, the world's going to come to an end, and they got the real one-armed bandits, etc. We haven't had one fax, one telegram, one anything about from anybody who's been there. And I can't believe that you guys haven't been there since you're both regular visitors to the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yes. Well, it's probably a little better over there at the Hard Rock. I'm just taking a guess, though.
Well, how do you know that unless you've been there? Why would you say that?
Well, because I'm not really into playing slots. So I go out to the Hard Rock to hit the bars.
Yeah, hit the bars. Cruise for we know what, yeah. Well, there's a lot of nice horny old ladies over there at Gulfstream.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
When everybody's heard about the bird.
What the hell is that? It's a turkey.
Bring in the turkey.
You know why people in this country get fat? Thanksgiving.
A big fat turkey.
It ain't cool being no giant turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
Quick, go and set your turkey free.
This is a birdie.
What do you mean you cooked the turkey?
4 pies, 2 cakes, and don't forget the rice pudding.
What kind of turkey are you looking for?
A smart one. They can do tricks.
Yeah, a turkey that can do tricks.
Yeah, that turkey sucks.
Thanksgiving again, and we're blimping up.
This is supposed to be the big finale where the turkey jumps through the ring of fire.
Don't you know the bird? Well, everybody knows that the bird is aware. No, well, the bird.
A holiday of death, man. A holiday of death. Heart attack on a plate. I mean, the turkey itself is fine. You know, low carbs, no carbs. Right?
Right.
But then all the accoutrements, like the stuffing is pure carbs, and then the cranberries
yummy.
Is like pure sugar on a plate, you know.
You smother gravy all over everything.
Right. And, of course, that heavy-duty gravy that'll oil clog your arteries. But it's, you know, don't overdo it. That's my suggestion to you.
I'm
but you
gonna.
Will. You will. You all
yes.
will. I love that promo we just had on the last break. Big-time college football talk. I'm almost compelled myself to tune in, you know, to come in here and open up the pot and
are
maybe
you?
Smoke. I mean, listen to it. Huh?
Are you?
No. Big-time college football talk. Wouldn't that make you tune it in, whatever the show was? Not just regular college football talk, but big-time college football talk. Not just your pedestrian crap with a bunch of yutzes out there who wore a jockstrap sometime 20 years ago. No, big-time college football talk. Right. It makes me want to cry. It makes me want to sit in the corner like little Jack Horner, stick my thumb in my
rectum.
Ass and just cry like a baby. Cry like a baby by the box tops. I bet you got that in there, but you won't play it. Got it?
Searching.
It was on a dark... How about Searching by the Coasters? Been searching. That's on Atco Records. Cry Like a Baby was on like some dark blue label, but I can't remember the label. What a shame. That's back in the days when we had records. There it is, Box Tops, 1969 is my best guess. Then again, I could be off maybe a year, maybe two. Step up. Does it say what year?
No.
Well, I'd be damned. Former Attorney General Janet Reno and 7 other former Justice Department officials filed court papers yesterday arguing that the Bush administration is setting a dangerous precedent. He is a dangerous president by trying a suspected terrorist outside the court system. It was the first time that Reno, the Attorney General in the Clinton administration, has spoken out against the administration's policies on terrorism detainees, underscoring how contentious the court fight over the nation's new military commission's law has become. Former Attorneys General, see there we go again with that plural crap. What was the other thing that I didn't like, the plural? Courts Martial. Former Attorneys General rarely file court papers challenging administration policy. Suspected al-Qaeda sleeper agent Ali Salah Kalah Omari, I wonder if he's kin to Olindo Mari, is the only detainee being held in the U.S.
Mari.
Now, who was it that went to school? It was Joe Costello went to high school with Olindo Mari. He said he's hung like a fruit fly. What?
Okay.
That's what he said.
Is that right?
Well, something like that. That may be a slight exaggeration. The former prosecutor challenged the Justice Department's right to bring Al-Mari before the military commission. A citizen of Qatar, which used to be Qatar, and it used to be something else, was arrested in 2001 while studying in the U.S. He had faced criminal charges until authorities designated him as an enemy combatant and ordered him held at a naval base in South Carolina. Nothing could be finer than to be held in South Carolina. In fact, to me, I think South Carolina, I think of that just like Slovakia. Torture. The Justice Department said in court papers last week that a new anti-terrorism law strips detainees such as Almaty of the right to challenge their imprisonment in court. The government is essentially asserting the right to hold putative enemy combatants arrested in the U.S. indefinitely whenever it decides not to prosecute these people criminally, perhaps because it would be too difficult to obtain a conviction, perhaps because a motion to suppress evidence would raise embarrassing facts about the government's conduct, or perhaps for other reasons, Janet Reno be saying. I wonder if she was on her way to Sister Jean's house when she issued this statement. Remember Sister Jean, the dancing machine?
Yeah.
So, well, I bet you Miguel remembers Sister Jean because that was part of the Alien saga, baby. We were embroiled in that up to our armpits. We were heavy duty. We had Alien up to our earlobes.
That we did. That's not why I know her, but I know.
The dancing machine. In fact, I think it was at Sister Jean's house. That's when the abuelos came there. We're like squeezing Alien's privates. Isn't that where that was going on? I think so. In public. Some of the eight attorneys named. I'm going to play it in the next break, so just relax, because I have the edited version.
I probably don't.
I do. Some of the eight attorneys named in the document are now in private practice and represent detainees at the military base in Gitmo in Cuba. Oh, here's a story from Miguel. They represent the detainees in Cuba.
I'm listening.
In Gitmo. Most served under President Clinton, though the list includes former U.S. attorneys W. Thomas Dillard and Anton Valukas, who served under President Reagan. The existing criminal justice system is more than up to the task of prosecuting and bringing to justice those who plan or attempt terrorist acts within the U.S. without sacrificing any of the rights and protections that have been the hallmarks of the American legal system for more than 200 years, the attorneys be writing. And there's Bubba right there.
The memorial service for
Ed. He's at Ed Bradley's funeral. What's he doing there at Ed Bradley's funeral? Well, I guess after you're president, you know, and you go to a lot of funerals.
They just had Jimmy Buffett singing at it.
What was he singing, Cheeseburger in Paradise?
Probably.
The Almaty matter is before the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia, and is one of three appeals court cases. You know, you can't complain about Jimmy Buffett's talent. You want to know why?
Why?
Because he doesn't have any. He is lame, Jimmy Buffett. Cheeseburger in Paradise, my ass. He is weak. There we go. Okay, I guess I'm done with that story. What's Bubba saying?
3 to 60 minutes. I watched his hair migrate from gray to black, from long to short to shaved. I didn't know what I thought about the earring, but Hillary liked the hair changes. Throughout this whole migration, I was learning.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear. We love Bubba, but he sounds like he just crawled out of the sack. Doesn't he sound like a little off his feed today?
Almost fell asleep there.
Yeah, coma-inducing. We can't afford, you know, because this is a high-priced radio show, we can't afford to have like stuff like that.
That's right.
Power.
830 on the poll. I think we're going to make that 1,000 today, damn it. You know, when I sat down here at about 8:20 this morning, long before you showed up, by the way, when I sat down here at 8:20, and don't feel, you know, like you got to come in there early. There's no point to it.
Don't worry.
You won't. We had like not even 400 votes on the poll, thanks to Eric's tardiness yesterday. Thanks to his little technical difficulty, okay? We don't want to pick on Eric or his lovely wife or anything like that, but they screwed up bad. What do you feel most guilty about? 830 votes, and most of us say nothing. I'm glad to see that. That's a good sign of good mental health, right? Josh voted nothing, I voted nothing, and 404 people have voted nothing, including 402 others. 48.5%, almost half of this audience, feels guilty about nothing. Maybe we ought to also add on there the stupid calls they made to this show, but that's just, I'm just thinking out loud. We're not going to put it on there. You know what I'm saying? They ought to feel real guilty about those.
Do you feel guilty about not taking calls?
Absolutely not. No. Drinking too much, 188. Oh, I could take a call or two. Let's see. Let me look at... because I never turn this damn thing on. And this monitor is going to last a long time now as a result of this. I could punch up a line right here. There won't be anybody on it. See? There we go. That's it. Neil took a call today. Mark it down. Tell the kids in school. Drinking too much, 189. Cheating on my spouse or partner, 94. And believe you me, there's a lot more than 11% of the audience cheating on their spouse or partner. Believe me when I tell you, Josh.
Huh?
I hate this poll, 83. Oh, we're under 10% again, 9.9. Thank the Lord. I'm going to get on my knees and do a Muslim prayer during the break when I send another fax to Eric, not... I voted for Bush 36. Those are the people I really ought to feel guilty. Although we don't have that many Bush people in our audience, maybe that's all of them, and they all feel guilty. like they're going to burn in hell. I never vote 14. They feel guilty about that. And cheating on my taxes is only 14. Probably 95% of the audience does that, but only 14 feel guilty about it.
The biggest names, best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
What you want is bad, okay?
Absolutely.
Oh! Tap Boy LaToya with your tell-all book. Exposing the Jackson family, you're a kook. Butt naked and playboy, you bared all for some cash. You're more suited for the Inquirer, girl, you're trash. All the dirt on all the Jacksons you tell. Michael and his monkey juicy stuff. With all his weirdness, you make Mike seem normal. Girl, just shut up. Tabloid LaToya, talent less and lame. Trying to make a sleazy buck of your family's name.
All right. We have Curtis for the Mad Dog. Now, is that just because he's taking this week off or because he's still in mourning for Bo Schembechler and going to the funeral or just because it's Thanksgiving or all of the above?
All of the above.
Okay. Don't forget, Josh won't be here on Friday. George is on vacation all week, including Friday, so it'll be me and Miguel on Friday, which basically means Miguel's playing the spots.
And Robert Walker.
No, I killed that part.
I beg your pardon?
Rob Walker will be in here.
No, he won't.
For what?
No, he won't.
Well, he was going to play the spots.
What are you talking about? We're just playing bits on Friday.
That's why he's not coming in.
Good. Who the hell's Rob Walker?
He runs the board.
Some stranger off the street you brought into that Clarence man, he's doing it. He is really on top of it.
Worry not.
851 votes on the poll. We're going to have 1,000 today. Wow. I bet your kids in school are going to be writing it on the tea room walls in crayon.
They're talking about it at the water cooler here.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're bent over at the water cooler. Not talking about it, just bent over. Wait till you hear this. This will make you bend over when you hear this. Google has the stock price surpassed $500 for the first time today, marking another milestone in the rapid rise that has catapulted the Internet search leader into the corporate elite, Google. $500 a share. Can you believe that? You want to buy some? No.
His next check,
you get
right?
It for me.
Continuing a recent surge driven by Wall Street's high expectations for the company, Google shares rose $9.67, or nearly 2%, to $504.72 in morning trading on the NASDAQ. $504.72. That left Google with a market value of about $154 billion, just 8 years after former Stanford graduate students Larry Page and Sergey Brin started the business in a Silicon Valley garage. In a garage, they started, and now it's worth $154 billion. The Mountain View-based company is now Silicon Valley's most valuable business, eclipsing the likes of Intel, the world's largest computer chip maker, and Hewlett-Packard, a high-tech pioneer that also famously started in a garage 67 years ago. It's just amazing what you can whip up in the garage, you know it? Google's remarkable success has minted Page and Brin, both 33, as multibillionaires, along with their handpicked chief executive, Eric Schmidt. That's no Schmidt. Hundreds of other Google employees are millionaires because so many investors want to own a piece of a company that's become the Internet's most powerful financial force while building a brand so ingrained in society that it's become part of the English language. We're Googling it right now. Except, of course, for Larry King, he don't know how to press the buttons. Doesn't that make you just want to cry?
Not really.
See, that's old. That is really old. I mean, I'm old, but at least, you know, compared to Larry, I'm a hipster, and I'm about as square as a cardboard box and have been all my life, and I'm proud of it.
Hey, at least you don't wear suspenders.
No, or a bag yet. It took slightly more than a year for Google shares to travel from $400 to $500, the stock's longest journey from one major milestone to the next since the company priced its initial public offering at $85 August 2004. I'm going to start Googling stuff during the breaks just to make sure that it's well worth the money.
Google Neil Rogers.
There's not much on there. The shares topped $100 on the front. Like WINZ seeks to have talk host removed from the air, and then, of course, the thing about Catherine Harris in the plane, yeah. And basically that's it. Although there's a lot of links to our website, thank God. where we have 857 votes under these very weak poll. I'm going to work on a really good one for tomorrow.
You do that.
That's my Tuesday resolution, just a couple days before Thanksgiving. I'm going to today find a real good poll.
You go do that.
Oh, I'm going to. I'm determined to do it right now. I just made up my mind, you know? Going to find me a really good poll.
Mm. Okay.
In fact, I'm looking at that desktop right now. That's almost pornographic. You know, I mean, there's nobody naked on there or anything. But he looks so damn good, it's almost pornographic. Although, I'll tell you, facially, at times, he looks like a real goofball, you know, Brady?
Yeah, he looks like a chipmunk to me, personally, but...
Ever had sex with a chipmunk?
No.
Don't knock it, then. Anyway, let's see. The shares topped $100 on their first day of trading on the NASDAQ, then crossed $200 in less than 3 months, broke through $300 another 7 months later in June 2004, and broke $400 on November 17 last year. So it took about a year before they went from $400 to $500. The latest spurt of optimism appeared to reflect... Oh, speaking of spurt, don't forget market down December 22nd. Everybody has to have at least one orgasm, maybe several. The latest spurt of optimism appeared to reflect a belief that Google will quickly... You know, it's a good thing for those kids in the movie in that hostel that they were all getting a lot of action before they wind up meeting their maker, you know?
Yeah.
At least they all had died with a... Well, I wouldn't say they died with a smile on their face. In fact, they were going through a lot of agony in that chair. A lot of angst in the chair, man. A lot of screaming and puking. That one review on there where he says, oh, yeah, I didn't really like the movie, but thank God at least the puking was good there at the end. You know, thank him for putting all the puking in there. Well, what's good about the puking? What kind of person...
That.
And how did you like when he put the rubber ball in his mouth, in J. Hernandez's mouth there, and then he pulled it out and bleh, like all over the... Wow. Man. He shot that crap all over the place. The latest spurt of optimism appeared to reflect a belief that Google... And they were all puking green, too. Do you notice that green and like a fluorescent orange or something in there?
I don't remember that part.
What the hell were they eating in that movie? Maybe they saw The Exorcist too many times. And I would agree with you. The Exorcist, especially compared to this movie, is a real comedy. It's a laugher. It's a panic. Everything is relative to the times in which it is. You know, like when Dracula came out in 1932, I'm sure it was very scary to a lot of people, you know? And as much as I love the movie, I would not say there's not one scary moment in there, you know?
No.
But it's great. The latest spurt appeared to reflect a belief that Google will quickly introduce ways to mine more online advertising revenue from its just completed $1.65 billion acquisition of YouTube, Inc. Google used its stock to finance that deal. Google currently has made most of its money selling briefwritten ads that are posted alongside search results and other online content, but management believes it can mine even bigger profits by expanding into video and delivering more messages to mobile computing devices. See, if they really are making money selling those little written ads that appear next to the search results, then they're stealing, you know, because do you guys ever look at any of those ads?
No.
No, neither Never. Do I. In fact, I don't look at any ads online. I just can't stand them. And when you go to some of these websites where you, like, have to close, like some of the news websites that I have to deal with every day, I don't want to start complaining or anything like that, but I'll complain anyway. And you have to go through, like, close a whole bunch of ads before you finally even get to the main page there and start finding out what you're looking for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't want to see some unsolicited, stupid-ass ad, okay? I want to see whatever you got on there for free, stick it on there, you know?
You know, some of the sites you send me for stories has a couple pop-ups. Capital
really?
Yeah.
Well, if you were using Firefox, you wouldn't have any pop-ups.
That I do use Firefox.
And you still get pop-ups?
Yes, Capitol Hill Blue.
Wow.
But no big deal.
Analysts on average predict Google will earn $13.70 per share next year, leaving the company's P.E. at about 37. By comparison, the P.E. of Microsoft, the world's most prized technology company with a market value of nearly $300 billion, is about 21, based on analysts' 2007 earnings predictions. Google's relatively high P.E. hasn't faced several analysts who've already predicted the company's stock price will hit $600 a share within the next year. Oh, listen, between the two of you guys, maybe you can, like, scrounge up enough change today to buy half a share. What do you think?
Unlikely.
865. What did I say? We need 850 by the top of the hour, by the time little hand hit the big hand, and it got to be noon. I said we need 850. And we got 868. Pretty good analyzation, huh?
Not too bad.
I don't know how the hell I do that. Like, when I go into the supermarket, I've done it many, many times. And I'll have, you know, like a cart with a few items in there. I don't go and buy, like, $100 worth of groceries. I have to be a schmuck to do that because then I eat it all in the same day. But I'm pretty good at estimating. You know what I'm saying? In other words, like I'll pull out $30 and it'll be like $28.75. I don't know how the hell I do that.
I got to say I have that gift as well.
Well, how do you like that?
Yeah, it's
maybe counting. Maybe we're just both good with numbers. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing like a good number. 868, that's the number on the poll. What do you feel most guilty about? Nothing. 48%, 417. They feel guilty about nothing. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't feel guilty. Guilt is a horrendous thing. You know, unless you've done something really, really evil, you know, like hurt somebody, injured somebody, run over a little dog or something like that. Wouldn't you feel guilty about that?
Yes, terrible.
Really bad. And that's one of the great things about not driving anymore. Boy, except when I'm there, you know. Those rare occasions when I'm there and I drive to Pompano Park or I drive to the bank or I drive to Walgreens to get my prescriptions filled. That's about it. Don't you miss driving those Corvettes, Neil?
No.
Don't you miss driving in Florida?
No.
No, absolutely not. Don't you miss being in Florida?
No.
No. Nothing 417. What are you chuckling about? Don't you miss being at QAM and all the wonderful people there?
No.
No. Not in the least bit. And you notice, here we are. You understand it's almost 5 years later? Maybe I'm exaggerating. Like 4.5. And this studio just doesn't go down. We have no downtime. A couple of times we had like power fade. I did the show on the phone. Remember those days?
Yeah, I did.
I did a big chunk of the phone on the show and the show on the phone. But at least the show continues going on. We don't have the outage kind of situation, and that's because there's nobody in here, as Josh would say, potchking around with stuff.
The biggest names of
none of the
talent.
Children, none of Terrence's little
Neil
children.
Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM. This is Dick Cheney. I like to relax by having Mary Magdalene massage my balls while listening to the Neil Rogers 12 to 1 hour.
Congressman Mark Foley gave me a goose on my thigh.
My thigh.
Said he wanted to give me some kisses too. On my thigh.
My thigh.
My thigh. My thigh.
Foley told me he would take me out of Tijuana. Date a moral Republican. Man of honor. He knew I'm just a kid, but he put his hands and lips on my thigh. Like, he asked my opinion of what I like or not. Do you like it better on the bottom or top? And while you take a little time to decide, he said, here comes Chunky, open wide.
I like a fine young man to place his soft and smooth hands on my thigh.
My thigh.
All the chat room dudes I want stuck like glue to my thigh.
My thigh.
Oh, I was molested as a boy, and I'm a heavy drinker. There's a plausible ploy, hey, ain't I a thinker?
I knew I made it as a page when a hand was placed on my thigh.
Once again,
I won't delay or say nay to a page whose hand is placed on my thigh.
Promo 2 at 560 WQM. There's a good point that one of the critics on IMDb wrote in critiquing Hostel, that is in Amsterdam or anywhere in Holland, you won't find people speaking German. The locals don't speak German. I just mentioned that in passing. In fact, locals are highly offended if you speak. They hate the Germans like poison, the Dutch. Of course, who the hell are they to be hating anybody when you come right down to it? The Dutch are the cheapest people in the world, make no mistake about it. When you go to Amsterdam, just keep that in mind.
Sure.
Don't tell me Josh is out of the room doing
no,
East
I'm here.
Trace.
No, he was.
Oh,
in
just
the
sound
I'm
the
just suppressed because
you
I wanted to go to
going.
Amsterdam.
I thought you were on the way.
No.
Oh. I think after seeing that movie, you might have a little reason to take a pause or two. Israeli troops and tanks pushed deep into the Gaza Strip in two separate raids today, clashing with Palestinian gunmen in Gaza City. Local residents and witnesses said a column of about 30 tanks penetrated the heart of Gaza City and entered the Zaytun district, a known militant stronghold, they said. Residents said there were no reports of any casualties in what appeared to be the most intensive Israeli ground force raid into Gaza City since Israel launched an offensive in June after militants captured an Israeli soldier in a cross-border raid. A smaller force raided Bet Lahia, northern Gaza Strip, an area more frequently targeted by Israeli forces in their attempts to stop militants from firing rockets into the Jewish state. An Israeli military spokeswoman confirmed ground troops were operating in the Gaza Strip and gave no further details. How'd you like to have Thanksgiving dinner at Gary Sarner's house where everything will be kosher, huh?
I'm all set.
Wouldn't that be good? Everything, the turkey is kosher, I'm sure, blessed by the Rebbe. Israel has killed more than 320 Palestinians in Gaza, about half of them civilians, since it began its offensive. Sounds pretty offensive to me. Israel's increased raids in northern Gaza since a Palestinian rocket strike last Wednesday killed an Israeli woman and seriously wounded a man in the town of Sderot. Defense Minister Amir Peretz said on Monday Israel would carry on fighting militants who fired rockets into Israel from Gaza, but there were no plans to reoccupy the coastal territory the Jewish state quit last year. They say Jewish in the article one more time. I'm going to look at John Bolton on there and puke my guts out.
Assassination.
Oh, my God. Take a look at that. I mean, anybody with a mustache like that, you know, is a crazy person. Am I right? Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
The white Hitler.
Yeah, there you go. And look at the way he's got that hair combed down over that right side of his head, just like Adolf. 891 votes. We're going to have 900 by the time we do the next break, and I send another fax to Eric Knott. I should just start playing with his brain and keep telling him, hey, Eric, are you getting those faxes? That would be bad, though. Because then when I fax him the poll, he'll say, oh, I told you I wasn't getting any of your faxes. Or some smart-ass answer like that. Got to come up with a really, really fantastic poll idea for tomorrow. And then what do we do? We leave it up the same one for Thursday for Thanksgiving Day or what?
We'll just leave it up the whole the rest of the weekend.
Oh,
it's that fantastic.
Man. You are so lazy. It's just unbelievable. So schlock. Oh, that fits in with QAM. That's our idea. That's how we do it. Schlock. That's why Clarence is the program director, because he's like walking schlock. If you look up schlock in the... If you Google schlock, you'll find Clarence's puss next to it. Michael Richards said yesterday that he spewed racial epithets during a stand-up comedy routine. See, this is in my pile. I'm going to ignore the fact that you kept playing clips of that before. I'll just ignore it.
We have him live via satellite.
Yeah. Michael Richards said yesterday that he spewed racial epithets during a stand-up comedy routine because he lost his cool while being heckled and not because he's a bigot. Right. For me to be at a comedy club and flip out and say this crap, I'm deeply, deeply sorry, the former Seinfeld co-star said during a satellite appearance on Letterman's Late Show last night, which Miguel actually watched.
I did.
I was watching Hostel, and you were watching Letterman.
I'd rather watch...
Hostile. Yeah, a lot of blood. I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this, Richard said. See, anybody who tells you that they're not a racist, do you know what they are?
Racist?
Yes.
Yeah.
His tone became angry and frustrated as he defended himself in a clip from the show played on CBS before Late Show aired Monday night. Well, let's hear a little bit of it.
You want the rant or the letter?
No, the apology.
We have him live via satellite
from Los Angeles.
Sorry, this should be Michael Richards. Michael, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hi, Michael. Welcome
to the
show.
Enough. I said a little bit. Richard, I don't even know who the hell he is. Don't you understand?
Cosmo Kramer, come on.
I don't care about that. Richards described himself as going into a rage over the two audience members who interrupted his act Friday at the Laugh Factory in West Hollywood. He responded to the black hecklers with repeated use of the N-word and profanities. And one thing about America, you can't use the N-word, or at least you have to lie and pretend that you don't use it, even though everybody uses it all the time, but you have to pretend that you don't. Jerry Seinfeld, who had issued a statement saying he was sick over this horrible, horrible mistake and calling it offensive, was scheduled as a guest last night. He encouraged Richards to make a satellite appearance to talk about the incident. So he was on there, Jerry?
Yes, he was the actual guest.
And?
And he's the one who had Kramer come on.
And did he say he was sick over the incident? Did he puke a green puke all over the stage and everything?
No.
Oh. Well, he couldn't have been too sick then. I'm sure Michael is also sick over this horrible, horrible mistake. It's so extremely offensive. I feel terrible for all the people who have been offended, said Jerry Seinfeld. Who cares? Talk about old news. Talk about old news, man. Ancient history. Older than Methuselah. Older than Rick Shaw. Boy, can you believe he's 68 years old?
That's what it says.
And who the hell was just on that thing we had before? Said, oh, it was some spot we played, and Chris Everett, she said, I'm 51 years old. Doesn't that make you feel when somebody famous that you kind of like grew up with and they say, oh, well, I'm 51, I'm 75 years old. Oh, my God. Or you see some movie star or starlet that you used to, you know, you grew up with, saw their movies when you were a kid, and now they're like 90 years old and you haven't seen them in 40 years, and they look like they did, like one step away from death. Doesn't that make you feel a little bit old?
Not yet.
Not for him.
Yeah, it will. I'll tell you right now, it will.
One day.
When you're watching your TV screen one of these days and what's-her-name comes on there, Scarlett Johansson, and she says, oh, I just celebrated my 80th birthday. You're going to feel like a little fart, man. Talk about saggy. Whoa. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of horny old ladies there at Gulfstream just waiting for a fine young man like
Sugar
you.
Sugar mamas.
No. You got the mama part right. 890. How come we're slowing down to a crawl now? I think everybody voted. I thought we'd have 900 by the time we went over the break. They're coming in one at a time now, 895, one every, about every 2 minutes.
Oh, they're up to waiting lunch now.
For that great poll tomorrow.
Yeah, aren't we all waiting for the great poll? I'm waiting for a great poll on Thanksgiving to have something really to be thankful for. Anyway, that whole Thanksgiving thing, you know. Leave it to the pilgrims to come up with some cockamamie idea. Let's go kill a bunch of turkeys and yada, 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 you know. It's like when you see these movies or things on TV where they're sitting around the table, and before they start eating, they all have to say the obligatory prayer, you know?
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, yeah, that's Christ. That's what they generally
say.
That's
how it starts, yeah.
Well, we want to thank the Lord for this wonderful repast. And, you know, and meanwhile, Mama may be the worst cook that ever came down the pike. She may cook slop, you know, that make you just jones for a decent grand slam at Denny's or something. But we're supposed to be thankful that Mama put this slop on the table and everybody's got to sit around. Thank you, Lord, about all this crap, man. What kind of families are those? I sure hope that never happened in your family. Well, certainly it didn't in Miguel because they weren't speaking English.
¿Cómo?
Yeah. Perry? I know I got that in here. But I have no idea. Now, maybe it's under Perry Como. I think there it is. All right. Como?
Find a wheel and it goes round, round, round.
See, there's another guy. He was a barber in Pennsylvania somewhere, and all of a sudden he became a singer and a star. And that's because his name ended in a vowel. 906 votes on the poll. Something happened there on our website. I don't know what the hell that was. Like it had a momentary fart or something. Oh, sorry, Joyce. But I think our poll took like a momentary dump. Because it was like it just frozen there for a second or two. You know what I mean? Frozen.
Yes.
Maybe I'll have a frozen TV turkey dinner for Thanksgiving.
You.
It's not Thanksgiving here Thursday. We already had Canadian Thanksgiving is long since gone, back early in October.
Now, you didn't eat any turkey, right?
No, I did not. You mean on Canadian Thanksgiving?
That's right.
No. Now, one time, I think it was about 2 years ago, there was an area restaurant that was sending flyers out in the mail to everybody who lived in the area, mm-hmm. and they had like a whole Thanksgiving dinner with the turkey and the whole deal.
Nice.
And so my good friend and I decided that we would partake in the whole deal, and I ordered it, and man, did that make me sick. Oh, God, did I eat. See, that's the problem with Thanksgiving. Why the hell celebrate it if you're not going to eat like a pig and then make yourself really sick?
Well, that is Thanksgiving, just stuffing your face.
Yes, that's what the stuffing part is all about, having some good stuffing and stuffing your face till you're sick and puking your guts out, like maybe you just saw a hospital again. I still can't believe that there's such queasy people. Well, there are. There are people who can't even take having their blood drawn, like Todd Dreck, for example.
Side of needles.
Like me.
Yeah, a little. Like, really?
Yeah. And it's not that it hurts. I happen to faint.
You faint?
You would.
When I give blood, I don't know. I just whatever. It doesn't hurt. I wake up like a couple of seconds later.
You fairy!
Holy cow!
I don't know what to
that
say.
That is really see,
needles are not my thing, man.
Reminds me of my little dog. I would take him to the vet. You know, every year he had to get shots.
Mm-hmm.
And with dogs, they put the needle in the back.
Yeah.
Not in the ass, but like in the back. Well, you know. And the vet, she would stick the needle in there, and he'd be standing there very quietly. And then when she would take it out, then he would say, "Man, after she already took the damn thing out." Well, it can't possibly hurt by that point, can it? Like 5 seconds after she took the needle out? Of course not.
Delayed reaction.
Just like you, a little infant, overgrown child. Very sad.
Yes,
so you faint at the sight of a needle?
Not at the sight of it. When I actually give the blood.
When I actually stick it in there.
Yeah, I don't know what happens, but...
It's not a good idea to pass out when they stick it in there.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
There is a chemical that always seeps into my mind. It seems to happen each year right about Thanksgiving time. It isn't pot or crack or even LSD. It comes right out of the turkey. Yeah. If I'm not careful, it will happen really soon.
My head is bobbing and it just fell on the gravy spoon. Just a quick cat nap, I promise not to snore. Wake me up by four and I'll have more. If I get tired, it's all because of L-tryptophan. Can't keep my eyes open, won't be watching babes in Toyland. I lay on the couch and in a short time I'll be right asleep tonight.
I got a really good poll for tomorrow, just before Thanksgiving Day. Really corny and timely.
Now what is it?
Well, I'm reaching back here for some crap. Just relax. Got a celebrity death. What kind of a celebrity? Favorite food on Thanksgiving. Favorite thing on the table.
Okay. Favorite dish?
Favorite dish. Robert Altman's dead.
And he would be?
I know that name, I think.
Right. The caustic and irreverent satirist behind MASH, Nashville, and The Player, who made a career out of bucking Hollywood management and story conventions, died in an L.A. hospital, as Sandcastle 5 Productions Company said today. He was 81. The director died last night. Cause of death wasn't disclosed. News release expected later today. A 5-time Academy Award nominee for Best Director, most recently for 2001's Gosford Park. He finally won a Lifetime Achievement Oscar this year. And damn the good thing he did, because now he's dead. See? Just in time, in the nicotine. No other filmmaker's gotten a better shake than I have, Altman said while accepting the award. I'm very fortunate for my career. I've never had to direct a film I didn't choose to develop. My love for filmmaking has given me an entree to the world under the human condition. And now, he's dead. Altman had one of the most distinct... I'll tell you one thing, he was no Eli North. Roth, whatever his name is, Eli Roth. He was no Peter North. Altman had one of the most distinctive styles among modern filmmakers. He often employed huge ensemble cast, encouraged improvisation and overlapping dialogue, and filmed scenes in long tracking shots that would flip from character to character. Perpetually in and out of favor with audiences and critics, Altman worked ceaselessly since his anti-war black comedy MASH established his reputation in 1970, but he would go for years at a time directing obscure movies before roaring back with a big hit. After a string of commercial duds, including The Gingerbread Man in 1998, Cookie's Fortune in 99, see that common thread seems to be developing there? Gingerbread and cookies, see it?
Yummy.
And Dr. T and the Women in 2000, Altman took his all-American cynicism to Britain for 2001's Gosford Park. Boy, that was really some kind of a flick. Didn't see it. You see it?
No.
What the hell was that?
It was about a park.
A combination murder mystery and class war satire set among snobbish socialites and their servants on an English estate in the 30s. Kind of like a Match Point a little bit. Gosford Park was Altman's biggest box office success since MASH. Besides Best Director, Gosford Park earned 6 other Oscar nominations, including Best Screenplay and Best Supporting Actress for both Helen Mirren and Maggie Smith. It won the original screenplay Oscar. Altman took the Best Director prize at the Golden Globes for Gosford Park. His other Best Director nominees came from MASH, the country music saga Nashville from 75, the movie business satire The Player from 92, and the ensemble character study Shortcuts from 93. No director ever got more Best Director nominations without winning a regular Oscar, though 4 other men, Alfred Hitchcock, Martin Scorsese, Clarence Brown, and King Vidor, who the hell's that?
He's the king.
Tied with, and I'm the queen, tied with Altman at 5. In May, Altman brought out a Prairie Home Companion with Garrison Keillor, starring as the announcer of a folksy music show with the same name as Keillor's own long-running show, about to be shut down by new owners. Among those in the cast were Meryl Streep, Lily Tomlin, Kevin Kline, Woody Harrelson, and Tommy Lee Jones. The film is about death, Altman said at a May 3rd news conference in St. Paul, Minnesota, also attended by Keillor and made the movie stars. It's a film about death, like Hostel. That's a film about death. Nasty, painful, and horrible death. Blood and guts. He often took on Hollywood genres with a revisionist eye, deromanticizing the Western hero in 1971's McCabe and Mrs. Miller was about Leafs defenseman Brian McCabe. And 1976's Buffalo Bill and the Indians are Sitting Bull's history lesson. The film noir Gumshoe in 1973's The Long Goodbye. And Outlaw Gangsters and Thieves Like Us. You know, I never heard of almost any of these movies.
You're not thinking,
what do I know? I'm out of touch.
Yeah, you better catch up.
And I hated MASH. You know, if you thought I was out of touch with Seinfeld, I hated MASH.
I'm with you there.
Despised it. Ooh. MASH was Altman's first big success after years of directing TV, commercials, industrial films, and generally unremarkable feature films. The film starring Donald Sutherland and Elliot Gould was set during the Korean War, but was Altman's thinly veiled attack on U.S. involvement in Vietnam. And it goes on about the film spawned the long-running TV sitcom starring Alan Alda, a show Altman referred to with distaste as that series. Unlike the social message of the film, the series was prompted by greed, Altman said. They made millions and millions of dollars by bringing an Asian war into Americans' homes every Sunday night, he said in 2001. I thought that was the worst taste. He also never minced words about reproaching Hollywood after the 9/11 attacks. He said Hollywood served as a source for inspiration for the terrorists by making violent action movies that amounted to training films for such attacks. Oh, give me a break, your mama. Oh, there it is.
Award just this year.
Robert Altman dead. See it on CNN. I beat him. Nobody would have thought to commit an atrocity like that unless they'd seen it in a movie, he said. Oh, brother. He was written off repeatedly by the Hollywood establishment. I'm beginning to understand why. And his reputation for arrogance and hard drinking, a habit he eventually gave up, hindered his efforts to raise money for his idiosyncratic films. While critical of studio executives, he held actors in the highest esteem. He joked that on Gosford Park, he was there mainly to turn the lights on and off for the performance. Well, isn't that great? He's dead. And you still don't know who he is, do you?
No.
No.
No. Like you said, the name rings a bell, but those movies, that list. Whoa. Man. 927 votes. I have a feeling that we're going to be knocking on the door of 1,000 by the time we get to like 115, old bean. I have that feeling. I could be wrong.
I have a feeling you're right.
Wouldn't be the first time I was wrong. Like that whole business about that damn Notre Dame game.
That's right.
Who they play? Merchant Marine? Coast Guard? They played the Coast Guard.
That's it.
172 to zip. Brady Quinn was zipping it. I'd like to see him unzip it, but that's beside the point. That's disgusting and grotesque, and we don't want to hear all your fag talk on the radio, okay? It's unacceptable, especially on a macho sports station like this one. What? We don't want to hear a bunch of faggy talk about some hot guy who happens to be quarterback for Notre Dame, by the way. That sounds like sports to me, and takes a lot of showers naked with other guys.
That's right. Just keep looking at your desktop.
Okay. Let me get back to it.
We're the flagship station.
Oh, wow. 15 Brady Quinns, all there, side by each.
Oh!
Oh, with that big goofy smile on his face. He looks like a goofball, but nevertheless, a hot goofball. Always liked Notre Dame, didn't I? Touchdown Jesus. Can't stand him, man. That is the most obnoxious. Steven Spielberg, meanwhile, since we just had that Hollywood story on there, Steven Spielberg urged TV networks to be mindful of what they show on the air because of the effect it might have on children, and said programs like CSI and Heroes were too gruesome. Oh.
CSI is great.
I think right there in the family viewing hour, they ought to put Hostel on just to piss him off.
I agree.
Today we're needing to be as responsible as we possibly can, not just thinking of our own children, but our friends and neighbors' children, Spielberg told an audience in New York at the International Emmys Board of Directors meeting. No wonder nobody hears from him no more. He decried on-air promotions for TV shows like CSI, Crime Scene Investigation, that showed blood and people being dissected. He also said that when his favorite TV show, the new season, NBC's Heroes, showed somebody cut in half at the 9 p.m. hour, he sent his younger children out of the room. I'm a parent who's very concerned, he said. Overdoing it, Stevie. Overdoing it.
Well, he did what he was supposed to do. He sent them out of the room.
Jewish neurosis, it sounds like to me. He said the TV landscape was much more homogenized 20 years ago, even 7 or 8 years ago. One of his shows, ER, wouldn't have been on the air 20 years ago because of its graphic depictions. Two of Spielberg's movies, Schindler's List, which I have but I absolutely won't watch, and Saving Ryan's Privates, have generated controversy during their TV airings with uncut language and graphic depictions, so who the hell is he to talk? But he also made a famous edit to the DVD release of E.T. the Extraterrestrial, where a government agent wielded a gun in the original film and then held a walkie-talkie in the DVD. We don't want nobody with guns in films little kids are watching. Because if there's anything we know, that America doesn't worship guns.
The biggest name.
Bad message to send your little kid.
This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Who's going to give Ricky a blow?
Let's do it.
Thank you.
of you know, that's my very last toy.
Well, that's something to be thankful for anyway. He ain't around no more. We're thankful about that anyway. We are.
Heard his very last doy.
Good. 948 votes on a poll. We'll make that 1,000 easy. And you hear you thought, oh, there's no chance you got that really bad late start thanks to Eric screwing up bad. Always negatory, man. I think he rubs off from George.
Sorry.
Well, let's see. Is there a piece of copy I just got in here?
That's right.
Oh, I can't believe that. A new piece of copy from Gary Sarner? This must be a mistake. Woo! Man, that is absolutely shocking. And it's kosher, too. The page came over, and it's got like a little circle U on it. A new mayor and two new Broward County commissioners took office this morning in front of a standing-room-only crowd of family, political supporters, county employees, and lobbyists. Both Ken Kuechel and Stacey Ritter were sworn in, making the board an entirely Democratic one. Ritter, a lawyer, is a former state representative. She most recently headed up the county's Management and Efficiency Study Committee. She replaces Dr. Ben Graber, who resigned to make an unsuccessful bid for the state Senate. Kuechel, also a lawyer, was president of the Dolphin Democrats, a gay and lesbian political group. He's the first openly gay county commissioner. Kuechel beat the board's only Republican, Jim Scott, who served for 6 years. Great Scott. The new commission elected is Mayor Josephus I don't know how to say that name.
Oh, boy.
Egelton? I would spell it for you, but then you'd plots. Who's been vice mayor for the past year? Commissioner Lois Wexler was elected vice mayor. Typically, vice mayors move to the top spot after a year. The headline on this, Egelton elected Broward's first black county mayor, and I apologize that I can't pronounce his name. Oh, see, now I'm going to get crap for that because I mispronounced the mayor's name. You'll see. I'm going to have to go on Letterman and apologize. Here's a great story.
Oh!
Something to be thankful for on Thursday or even sooner. I'm thankful for it right now. Relatives of a missing boy's mother who killed herself after being aggressively questioned by CNN's unctuous Nancy Grace filed a wrongful death suit today, claiming the talk show host caused severe emotional distress that led to the suicide. Melinda Duckett committed suicide September 8th, the day after Grace's show on CNN Headline News aired a segment in which Grace aggressively questions Duckett about her whereabouts on August 27th, the day two-year-old Trenton Duckett was reported missing. Authorities, who said last week they believe that Trenton is still alive, have named Melinda Duckett as the prime suspect in his disappearance. How do you like that? J. Paul Duratney, the attorney representing Duckett's estate, said today that Grace encouraged Melinda Duckett to appear on her show by saying the goal was to draw public attention to help find Trenton. It's not just about the questioning, it's about the misrepresentation with the knowledge that she was emotionally distraught, Duratney said. The attorney said Grace improperly took on the role of a law enforcement officer. CNN Headline News declined to comment, but issued a message of support for Grace. We stand by Nancy Grace and fully support her, as we have from the beginning of this matter, a spokeswoman said in a statement Tuesday. Fran, how do you like that? They're suing her ass, and I think it's long overdue, that miserable, hateful sow. She is everything evil that people hate about women. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's things people love about women, then there's things people hate. She is what they hate. She is the part that they despise. That they find nauseous, that they just want to puke their guts out thinking about that bitch. 951 votes on the poll. What do you think? Easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
955 now. They're coming in chunks, just like in that movie, Hostel. Now, some people might be hostile if they watch Hostel because they'll blame us for it. Well, the guys on Neil's show all said it was really great, and it was okay. If you got a weak stomach, just don't look at it. On Monday, wait till you hear this. I hope George is listening, although I know he's not, unless he's crazy.
He's not.
He's crazy.
On Monday, why did he go away?
No, but he never listens.
Just like me, when I'm not on, do you think I'm listening to this crap?
No.
Absolutely not.
Come
and
on,
when he's not on, do you think he's listening to my crap?
No.
No way, Jose.
You know you're hooked to that college tailgate show.
Oh, yeah. Now, what was that expression again? Big-time college football talk. Not just regular...
Neil Rogers, good. George Rodriguez, no good.
On Monday, can I get back to this story? It's about Mary Jawini, man.
Could you?
Irvin Rosenfeld.
Oi!
Boy.
Started his 25th year smoking nearly a dozen joints a day. Getting busted is the least of his problems.
Nice.
His more than 200 bone tumors were supposed to continue to grow until they left him paralyzed or caused a clot to break loose and kill him. Without his medicine, which he's received since 1982, medicine is in quotes, I definitely would believe that that would have happened by now, the stockbroker with offices in West Palm, Boca, and Fort Lauderdale said yesterday. He's the longest surviving member of a group of 13 people, eight of whom have since died, who as early as the mid-70s began receiving marijuana from the federal government. George wishes he was on that list, and so do you.
Yes, I do.
Receiving marijuana from the federal government. They were given it for ailments ranging from glaucoma to multiple sclerosis to AIDS to the combination of maladies that's affected Rosenfeld and no one else nationwide since he was 10.
It's good for arthritis, too.
He's the only one of the 13 able to lead an active life, and the tumors haven't grown in 32 years. I feel fantastic, Rosenfeld said. A longtime national proponent of controlled medical use of cannabis, Rosenfeld is now writing a book, a combination of autobiography and advocacy. He hopes to have it out by the spring. In response to telephone inquiries, the FDA yesterday forwarded an April 2006 press release in which it concluded that no sound scientific studies supported medical use and that the FDA-approved alternatives exist. Right. Zion America, baby. Oh, you came to Amsterdam to get stoned? That part of the movie is just so, it's so lame, man. It's so embarrassing. According to the advocacy group's Patients Out of Time, Rosenfeld sits on its board. 11 states and the District of Columbia have legalized medicinal use, and some 36 states have allowed limited use, but the DEA has remained opposed. Because they, in 82-99, the group says the Institute of Medicine, part of the National Academy of Sciences, found marijuana to be moderately well-suited for particular conditions. As a young adult, Rosenfeld bought pot wherever he could. Now the U.S. government grows marijuana on a farm in Mississippi and provides it in cans of 300 cigarettes. 300. Rosenfeld has often said an effective cannabis pill would prevent a lot of hassles, and companies have created marijuana extracts and synthetic components of the drug, but none has been approved for use in the USA yet. His book will detail his numerous difficulties. He was arrested while smoking in an Orlando balcony. He was detained while smoking at Walt Disney World. A policeman once pulled a gun on him. He was barred from a Delta flight. The federal government later ruled Delta was wrong, but declined to penalize the airline. He was disqualified from a Chicago sailing regatta for the disabled because he was doping, as they said. And as recently as June, he had to go without pot for 4 days when the Bahamian government would let him bring it into a weekend seminar.
Oh, 4 days. Jeez.
It was his longest stretch since a similar predicament in Canada in 1990, eh? Oh, my goodness. For the first 18 hours, I did remarkably well. He said, by the 36th hour I was hurting, I started popping pills, pains, and muscle relaxants, okay? Because they wouldn't let him have his weed. You know what that reminds me of before the break?
What's that?
It's just these guys nicking suds and whatever the heck it is. And the people that call in, they're just like them, like that they're on the, the weeds and they're high and they're... I mean, it's terrible. For years that I've been listening to 610 and Anna's here.
The biggest names, the best talent.
Yeah, this
here. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Luis Miguel, play it, baby.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Will the real Greg Brady please stand up? I repeat, will the real Greg Brady please stand up? We're going to have some fun here.
Acting like you've never seen a white boy before. Who is on the same floor with the three sisters separated by a bathroom door and a bathroom with tile floor and soap bought at the store. Sleeping in a bunk bed so we don't bump heads. Hey, doofus, stop being a nerd. Uh-oh, Greg, you didn't just say the N-word. Mm-hmm. Of course I did. You idiot, you're just a kid. Little Peter's deranged, can't hear the high notes of the song I changed. Greg Brady, y'all sick of me? You won't stick with me? Would you rather have that Partridge Family? Danny with his red hair. Ain't he cute? Here's a little secret. The kid don't play his guitar. It's mute.
What?
I also like to take Keith's butt and insert my boot. Sometimes I want to jump Marsha and just go, but I can't because she's my sis and I'm a bro.
Sorta.
This family is sick. This family is sick. No kidding there, people. Was there something that you missed? My dad designs a house for three adults and six kids with only one bathroom for all of us to piss. And poor Alice only has the laundry room in which she'll live in, right next to the kitchen. But I guess I'm only bitching because my temper's been itching. Little Cindy with a lisp, making my eyes start shaking and twitching. Why can't Jan stop saying Marsha, Marsha, Marsha like a vixen? And Bobby get to the dentist so his teeth could be fixing. I'm about to throw a football hard and hit Marsha's nose. I'm so mad, I'm letting go like Johnny Bravo. I'm Greg Brady, yes, I'm the real Brady. Cause all the other Bradys are just a bunch of ladies. So won't the real Greg Brady please stand up? Please stand up. is no playing ball in the his house.
Okay, there's the Brady Quinn rap. It's a 12:47 at QM. I'm not going to do that silly-ass Thanksgiving poll that I was talking about. That's a bad idea.
Oh, well, people would like it so much.
No, they would not. Are you being sarcastic again, or are you just being a jackass? Both? No, it's just, you know what it's like? It would be like saying paper or plastic, you know, like that.
Well,
weak.
There's more
really
options
weak.
Than that, though.
And speaking of paper or plastic, when's the last time you ever took anything home in a paper bag?
Ew.
Like a long, long time ago.
Long ago. Who the hell uses paper bags anymore, man? That's sack it. Get rid of that. For old farts, you know. Even an old fart like me wouldn't bring home groceries in a paper bag. Man. 969 votes on our poll, man. Now, I'll come up with some really neat idea for tomorrow. Something really cerebral, like, you know.
You got the pressure on you now.
And that's just for tomorrow. Now, what do you tell me that we ought to leave this one tomorrow on for? No, we won't. We'll change it again Friday for the weekend. I'm not going to be as lazy as you are.
There you go.
Of course, then again, who could be? No, Josh is doing a hell of a job on these stories, man. Like Sunday, he had a little problem there, and so he said, hey, Eric, you handle it. I'm out. Isn't that what you said?
No.
972 votes. What do you feel most guilty about? Not getting those stories up in a timely fashion every now and then. Although he certainly has, you know, since I bitched him out, since I ratted your ass out, that's what it took. You know, some people you can tell them in a nice way, hey, by the way, could you get the stories up before 3 in the afternoon on Saturday and Sunday? You can tell them in a nice way, like about 10 times. And other people, you have to, like, you know, stick their foot in boiling, scalding hot water. And, oh, gee, I don't want to do that again. Like that. Like you were in that place. Slovakia.
Watch your eyes.
974. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You got to admit, they sure that room was sure well-equipped, you know it? That torture room?
Yes, it was.
They had it all. I mean, you name it, and they had it. Every torture device, and some really spiffy drills, too. And saws. 974. What do you feel most guilty about? Nothing? 470. That number is actually going up 48.2% now, almost half. Guilty about nothing. Drinking too much, 219. Cheating on my spouse or partner, 105. I hate this poll, 104. Back up to 10.6%. Boy, I'm telling you, I may not do a poll tomorrow. They're starting to turn on me now.
Uh-oh.
10.6%. That's bad. That's a bad number for us. And wouldn't you think of Thanksgiving time when people are, you know, in like normal civilized places at this time of the year, people are like more, you know, peace on earth, goodwill to men when you get to like Christmas and this time of the year from now till the end of the year.
Right.
Not in South Florida, man. South Florida, it's more hate than ever. Hate this poll. Bah! I voted for Bush 45, then we hate you. I never vote 17, and cheating on my taxes only 14. And we got 978. That's pretty great. I will say that, you know, they at least come through with the numbers, you know. They may not vote the way that you would prefer that they would. But at least they come through with big, gigantic numbers. Isn't that what counts?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
State officials yesterday certified Republican Vern Buchanan won the House seat, being vacated by Republican, the unctuous Representative Catherine Harris. Oh, did you hear about her plane? Wow. Though the loser immediately sued for a new election, arguing that touchscreen voting machines had malfunctioned. Democrat Christine Jennings contested her 369-vote loss in the 13th District, asking a judge to order a new election because of problems in Sarasota County, where more than 17,000 voters who cast ballots in other races November 7 allegedly failed to vote in the congressional contest. Anybody believe that?
No.
Could it possibly be legit?
No.
And keep in mind, this is Catherine Harris's old district. Boy, you talk about hanky spanky. That rate is nearly six times higher than in the other counties in the congressional district or on Sarasota's paper absentee ballots, Jennings alleges in her legal challenge. Though she lost the other four counties in the district, Jennings did well in Sarasota County, winning there by 6 percentage points. Jennings' lawyer, Kendall Coffey, who never met a microphone or a camera that he didn't like, said the statistical evidence is based on numbers that cannot be seriously questioned. He said there were also eyewitness accounts of voting problems. Buchanan, a wealthy auto dealer, said there was no evidence of machine malfunctions. He attributed the huge Sarasota undervote to angry voters turned off by negative campaigning. Anybody buying that?
No!
I guess the theory is if you don't win, sue, Buchanan said, urging Jennings to concede and stop listening to the high-priced lawyers and out-of-town special interest groups. The lawsuit's not Jennings' final option. She could also appeal the results to the House, which will be under Democratic control next year, as we know. Common Causes Florida Chairman Walter Dartland. Walter Dartland, I haven't heard that name in 1,000 years. Wow. He used to be the Dade County Consumer Advocate back when I was at a whole bunch of stations, 100 years ago.
That's good.
No. Putz. Common Cause's Florida chairman, Walter Darlin, said new election may be the only way to resolve the problems. Hey, Walter, you were a putz 30 years ago, and you're still a putz. The state is conducting an audit of the Sarasota voting machines separate from the recount legal challenge. The audit will include a November 28th test of machines prepared for but not used in the election. The machines that were used on Election Day cannot be accessed until the challenge period ends 10 days from yesterday, said Secretary of State Sue Cobb, who I'm sure is not related to Eddie Cobb. Harris, a congresswoman since 2002, ran for U.S. Senate this year but lost to incumbent Democrat Bill Nelson, as we know. She got spanked, baby. She got bushwhacked. She got destroyed. In 2001, Harris had pushed for an election overhaul that outlawed punch card ballots and required counties to use touchscreen devices or optical scan machines that read paper ballots voters filled in. Several other House races nationwide still are unresolved. How do you like that? Here it is. It's November 21st. The election was, what, on the 7th? 2 weeks ago today, as a matter of fact. In Ohio's 2nd District, a few counties began counting provisional absentee ballots in a disputed race between Republican Representative Gene Schmidt, who called a decorated Vietnam veteran John Murtha a coward, and Democrat Victoria Woolson. Schmidt led by about 2,800 votes, though nearly 9,000 votes could remain to be counted in the district. And I'm going to sneeze.
There it is. All right.
In Ohio's 15th district, Republican incumbent, there's nothing worse than a fake sneeze. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think you're going to do it, and then, like, it never happens.
Ugh.
In Ohio's 15th district, Republican incumbent Deborah Price was ahead of Democrat Mary Jo Kilroy by more than 3,500 votes, but some 19,000 ballots remain to be counted, with the results expected next week. And in North Carolina's 8th district, election officials were recounting votes that last week gave Representative Robin Hayes, a Republican, a 339-vote margin ahead of Democrat Larry Kissel. Kissel's considering a hand recount. They want to do it by hand. Wouldn't be the first time. Last Friday, elections officials in New Mexico's 1st District released an unofficial tally showing that Republican Representative Heather Wilson won a race against Democrat Patricia Madrid by just 879 votes out of more than 210,000 cast. How do you like that? You idiots who stayed home, huh? You idiots who live in those places, of course, which is none of us. 990 votes on the poll. When we come back after the top of the hour, we're going to have 1,000 votes by 1 o'clock, which I think that means we can go home early, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I'm thinking 1 o'clock sounds good.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
The 1 to 2 hour.
There was an old farmer who lived on a rock. He sat in the meadow just shaking his fist at some boys who were down by the creek. Their feet in the water, their hands on their marbles and playthings, and at 4:30, there came a young lady. She looked like a pretty young creature. She sat on the grass. She pulled up her dress and she showed them her ruffles and laces and white fluffy duck. She said she was learning a new way to bring up her children so they would not spit. While the boys in the barnyard were shoveling refuse and litter from yesterday's hunt. While the girl in the meadow was rubbing her eyes at the fellow down by the dock. He looked like a man with a sizable home in the country with a big fence out front. If he asked her politely, she'd show him her little pet dog who was subject to fits. And maybe she'd let him grab hold of her small tender hands with a movement so quick. And then she'd bend over and suck on his candy so tasty made of butterscotch. And then he spread whipped cream all over her cookies that she had left out on her shelf. If you think this is dirty, you can go f*** yourself.
All right.
101 at 560 WQM. And Friday, of course, they're going to be playing that about 100 times. And a lot of other old stuff that we can still play. How many bits are there we can still play?
About 30, man.
That's not too bad. I thought we'd have 1,000 votes by the time we came back, but we don't.
Well, let's leave anyways.
998. 998, that's not so great. I thought we'd be like over 1,000 and we could all get out of here. I can go to like a nice early lunch. 999. Next vote's the 1,000th, man. You could put a feather in your cab. You could write that in your memoirs. You can tell your grandchildren about that. 2 days before Thanksgiving Day in 2006. I was the 1,000th vote on Uncle Neil's poll. There it is. We got it.
Rectum.
Yeah. We got 1,000 votes. You feel any different now than we did before?
Oh, yeah.
I don't. Republican governor-elect Miss Charlie Crist, a real flamer, named George Lemieux as his chief of staff today as he began to form an administrative team built largely from people who have been political advisors or served under him as attorney general. Don't you like that use of words there? They served under him as attorney general.
Uh-huh.
Lemieux served as chief of staff on Crist's campaign, overseeing the victory over Democrat Jim Davis. He also served as Crist's deputy attorney general before leaving that position to run a campaign. Lemieux was born and raised in Broward County, where he was twice elected the county's Republican Party chairman. Crist also named eight other administrators, including deputy chiefs of staff Arlene DiBenigno, whatever her name is, Eric Eichner, a whole bunch of people that nobody ever heard of. And it's got the list of all these that nobody cares. Crist will take office January 2, replacing fat-ass Governor Jeb Bush, who couldn't run for re-election because of term limits, thank God. So we had a phony religious fanatic who's leaving, and now we got a phony closet queen who's going to be the new Republican governor of Florida. Well, all of a sudden, my allergies are acting up. You don't think because it was colder than hell this morning, do you? Like minus 4 Celsius?
Yes.
Man, I don't want to start sneezing again.
Uh-oh.
That would be really bad. That would be gross. Not as gross as the scenes in Hostel, but close.
Well, just wait till you watch Saw.
I'm not going to watch Saw. What makes you think I'm going to watch that?
Keep the pattern going.
No, thanks. I'm just not into movies that have gratuitous blood and guts. It doesn't bother me. I mean, as in spite of what Josh was trying to feed me several months ago on a show when he got into this kick about, oh, well, you're just not into violent movies. You can't handle violent movies. Since when?
I just said that, you know, every movie you mentioned to me, I figured that you weren't into violent movies, which I still don't think that you are.
Meaning what? Why would I continue to
action,
watch
action, like action movies.
No, I'm not into action movies. You mean like The Terminator and that kind of crap? Arnold?
Okay.
Action Jackson?
Ugh. You're right. I'm not. I don't want to see that crap. Jesse Jackson, speaking of crap, writes, war supporters must face the music in today's Chicago Sun-Times. I can't believe I'm going to read an article by Jesse Jackson. Wouldn't be the first time. You know, every now and then he says something that makes sense. And then, of course, you realize that it was him and you say, well... He says, when American families gather to give thanks this week, all of us should say a prayer for the young men and women putting their lives at risk in Iraq and Afghanistan and serving in Bosnia and hundreds of other bases around the world. They're of all races and creeds. Some come from proud military families with generations of service. Some are new Americans whose families have only recently come to this country. In Iraq and Afghanistan, their duty is hazardous and difficult. They deserve our thanks and respect. Now, what they really deserve, Jesse, is to come home tomorrow. In fact, let's bring them home for Thanksgiving Day.
Oh!
They have served with courage and honor, but have been deeply misled by their leaders. They're stuck in a catastrophic occupation in Iraq. Even the political generals like General John Abizade, who have learned to trim their views to fit the White House's needs, now say we have only 4 to 6 months before the civil war already underway spins out of control. More objective analysts say it's already out of control, with death squads murdering and kidnapping hundreds each day, ethnic cleansing taking place from the Kurdish region to the north to the Shiite areas of the south, and Baghdad a bloody gangland with private militias splitting into rival tongs. In the midst of this disaster, its architects are abandoning ship. The very neoconservative ideologues who lobbied for this war of choice even before Bush came to office, who wanted to invade Iraq even before the 9/11 terrorist attacks, they're bailing out. These are the zealots who eagerly promoted exiles like Ahmed Chalabi to propagate lies about Saddam Hussein's nuclear weapons programs. These are the pundits who filled the op-ed pages and radio and TV shows with lies about Hussein's connections with al-Qaeda. They were so intent on launching this war that they were prepared to prey on American fears and mislead the country into a war. It would be, as Kenneth Edelman said, a cakewalk. We would be greeted as liberators. Democracy would break out in what they painted as a secular Iraq and then sweep the region. Now they rush to disavow any responsibility. Edelman is shocked to see that there are a lot of lives lost. He now blames the leaders of the administration that he once adored. This didn't have to be managed this badly. It's just awful, he said. Richard Pearl, the unctuous Richard Pearl, leader of the Chalabi lobby, now says he didn't realize the invasion would lead to an occupation. The occupation, he says, was a foolish thing to do. He apparently thought the troops could just overthrow a dictator and democracy would follow just as dawn follows night. It's a problem of execution, according to Joshua Muravchik, the neocon publicist, who lays the blame on Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld. Besides, he now writes, few neocons actually served in the Bush administration, and our woes in Iraq may be traced to the conduct of the war rather than the decision to undertake it. Right. Now the American people have begun to understand the scope of the fiasco. They went to the polls to demand change in course in Iraq. Bush dismissed Rumsfeld, leader of the neocons, and brought in the pros, James Baker, Robert Gates, from his father's administration. They, with the new Democratic leadership in the Congress, will have the impossible task of trying to extricate America with as little damage as possible from the mess that the neocons got us into. So the neocons are positioning themselves to blame the mess on those left to clean it up. Soon they'll be filling the op-ed pages with cries of being betrayed and with calls for a new military adventure, packaged once more with deceptions and distortions. America will have squandered priceless lives and, in the end, over $1 trillion on their folly, but the neocons will learn nothing. They'll lose nothing. The only question is whether the rest of us will know better the next time. Our soldiers are still at risk. Many believe in their cause. Many understand the situation's out of control. They follow their orders. They put their lives on the line. They deserve our deepest thanks for their heroism. To honor them, we must not fail to hold accountable those who misled them and us into this catastrophe. Sounds like impeachment to me.
Oh!
That's Jesse Jackson's take. Good article, even though he wrote it, you know. You always have to take 7 grains of salt, throw them over your shoulder when you read something by him. We got 1,013 votes on the poll. How do you like that? Lucky number 13.
Very nice.
That impressive. Now we can go. See ya. Don't forget we have no Mad Dog today. We got Curtis Niemenson again. Curtis is going to be busy all week. He probably didn't know about it because our sometimes program director, he's not into schedules and stuff this week. He's busy being UM nerd or whatever. Or maybe preparing for a new career somewhere else, hopefully. Don't go away mad, Clarence. Just go to hell away. Soon, you idiot. Jackson, Wyoming. Wet dog and stinky feet are some of the words being used to describe the odor. And by the way, if I can interrupt myself for just a second, at the beginning of the movie, Hostel,
mm-hmm.
Now maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that over the opening credits, there's a scene like in a bathroom or a shower or like, and it's like there's brown schmutz. There's a cleaning guy who's like cleaning up stuff off the floor, you know. And there's brown kind of schmutz like sliding off the wall. You remember the scene or did you forget about it?
No, I don't remember that.
Me neither.
Watch it again. I'll have to watch it again to see the significance of that.
Yeah, now, you do that.
This may be the bathroom from the last scene in the movie where they wouldn't be cleaning up. It would be red unless this guy's got brown blood. Or maybe it was something else that was. But at any rate.
Well, after
you know
it's been
saying?
There a while, that's going to turn brown. Blood.
Wet dog and stinky feet are some of the words being used to describe the odor of some paper towels that were stocked in restrooms all over town in Jackson, Wyoming. An investigation by the Jackson Hole News and Guide revealed the malodorous product at 6 businesses and in most of the 20 Teton County government buildings. Maybe that was that brown schmutz that was sliding off the wall. Melissa Schinkel, who works in the county clerk's office, said county employees didn't talk about the odor at first, but then it became a topic of conversation, like at the water cooler, you know, like they're around town now saying, hey, that old fart got 1,000 and some votes in before the show's over. It was like, have you noticed? When you wash your hands, they should smell nice, but they smell worse, Schinkel said. It's gross. Gross. The source was High Country Linen, a business owned by Mayor Mark Barron, which distributed these smelly towels around town in September. When we got the reports, we dealt with them directly and immediately, he said. We may have had 5 or 6 calls. The company's manager, Eric Vick, said the towels are manufactured by SCA Tissue North America in Neenah, Wisconsin. There we go again with one of those sister cities, Neenah, Menasha, Wisconsin. You know Wisconsin, home of the Green Bay Packers, who were shut out by the Patriots 35-0 on Sunday. The company's vice president of manufacturing, Ron 30. What's his name?
About 30, man.
What's his name? Whoever could imagine that? Ron 30. Said in a statement that odors in our products are a highly unusual occurrence. Well, they stink, okay? They're stinking. They're making brown schmutz on the walls, and people are washing their hands with your towels, and they stink even worse.
Smell like Updog, did it?
They smell like Updog. Well, we better play that. That'll kill some good time. I don't know what you're chuckling about, man. Thanksgiving week is not good. Not a good week. You notice how we're not getting any calls?
Hey, well, they all started to call in after you picked up for 1 second.
Oh, did they?
Yep.
Well, let me turn the monitor on again here. We got a minute or so before the break.
Got line 6 there.
Line 6 is ringing. WQM Thanksgiving Day line. Hello.
Shameful lines with Tinkle. Just thought I'd like.
Okay. What did he say? Shameful Tinkle, Twinkle. I don't know what the hell he said. and reach over and shut it right back off again. All right. Well, that was an improvement over the one call I took a few weeks ago. Remember that one?
Hi.
On line 9.
Hi.
But, of course, maybe that creature has died since then. We can only pray. And then we'll be thankful on Thanksgiving Day.
No, we're not that lucky.
12 minutes after 1 at 560 WQAM for...
Okay, f***ing blow!
To the net.
Hey, man.
Hey, who's this?
It's Jeff. Hey, I was in your restaurant, and it smelled like Up Dog.
What is Up Dog?
I don't know. What's up, G? Yo, yo, yo. Get it?
No.
Okay.
Richard speaking. Would you like to place a catering order?
Hey, Richard.
Yes.
I was in your restaurant, my wife and I, and she was commenting, as I was, that it smelled like Up Dog.
Like what?
Up Dog.
What is Up Dog?
Nah, what's up with you, G? Get it?
Arriba, hello?
Yeah, hi, Gesundheit. Hey, I was in your place, and it smelled like Up Dog.
What's Up Dog?
Not much. What's up with you, G?
Yeah, what's up, dog? What's happening, dog? Yeah, not much, yo.
I'm busy. What do you want?
Your place smelled like Up Dog.
Okay, bye.
Get it?
Taco.
Yeah, hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I was in your place and it smelled like Up Dog.
What is Up Dog?
I don't know. What's up with you, G? Get it?
I am Beezy. It's 117 at 560 WQM. I'd rather be Beezy than Deezy. Kids were getting kind of Deezy in that movie last night, in Hostel.
You probably would, too.
Wait till you hear this. This is going to make you drop a gigantic meatloaf right there in the chair.
Oh, I already dropped a...
I don't want to hear about it. And neither does the audience, okay? Some of us haven't eaten lunch yet, please. The O.J. Simpson book saga took another twist today when his former sister-in-law, Denise Brown... accused the media company behind the project of trying to buy her family's silence for millions of dollars. Simpson's book, If I Did It, was a sequel few had dared conceive, with Simpson acquitted of murdering his ex-wife and her friend, but later found liable in civil court, describing how he would have killed him if he'd done it. A spokesman for News Corp, owner of Fox Broadcasting, and publisher HarperCollins, confirmed that the company had conversations with representatives of Nicole Brown Simpson's and Ron Goldman's families over the past week, and that the families were offered all profits from the planned Simpson book and TV show, but he denied that it was hush money. There were no strings attached, News Corp spokesman Andrew Butcher said. How do you like that? They were offered all the profits from the book and the movie. Denise Brown told NBC's Today Show today that her family response was absolutely...
Absolutely.
...not. They wanted to offer us millions of dollars for, like, oh, I'm sorry money. But they were still going to air the show, Brown said. We just thought, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What they're trying to do is try to keep us quiet, trying to make, like, hush money, trying to go around the civil verdict, giving us this money to keep our mouths shut. Any fascination with Simpson's shocking return to public life was overcome by revulsion and disbelief from the public. People were kicking their guts out on street corners all over America. Even News Corp's Rupert Murdoch, a media king with a famous taste for scandal, couldn't stand it no more. If I Did It had been scheduled to air as a two-part interview November 27th and 9th on Fox, with the book to follow the next day on November 30th.
About 30, man!
HarperCollins spokeswoman Erin Crum said some copies already have been shipped to stores, but would be recalled. All copies will be destroyed, except the ones that you'll find for sale on eBay, of course. Simpson's attorney, Yael Galander, told the AP, "We'd known for 3 or 4 days that this was a possibility. There were only three possible reactions, anger, happiness, or indifference. He's totally indifferent about the fact that it's been canceled," Galander said. He said he didn't know if Simpson was paid up front. Ron Goldman's sister, Kim Goldman, said on CBS's early show today the family would take legal action to collect any money Simpson received from the deal. Denise Brown went farther, saying that money was being hidden for Simpson so he didn't have to pay the civil judgment. The courts one day will find out who that person is, Brown said, who'd be hiding the money, Sonny. Simpson told the AP in a phone interview late Monday he couldn't comment on the situation until I know legally where I stand, he said, on his arthritic knees. Hope he stands on his knees and falls flat on his face. And breaks his freaking neck. Hope you break your neck, O.J., you murdering piece of turd. I would like nothing better than to straighten out some things that have been mischaracterized, he said, but I think I'm legally muzzled at this point. Yeah, let's put a muzzle on his head and send him over there to, like, Slovakia. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah.
Sensation has long been a News Corp's game, but the Simpson book drew almost universal anger from those who knew Goldman and Brown, from booksellers and advertisers, even from Fox News Channel personality Bill O'Reilly. O'Reilly urged a boycott of any company that advertised on that special. A dozen network affiliates said they wouldn't air the two-part special, and numerous stores had either declined to sell the book or promised to donate any profits from the sale of the book to charity. I really don't think there would have been very many advertisers who would have been willing to participate in this show, said Brad Adgate of the ad-buying firm Horizon Media. How do you like that? His name is Adgate. Sounds like the scandal when they investigate all these sliders that our sales department put through. Adgate. You've heard of Watergate. And all that other crap. With little advertising, Fox would miss the chance to profit from the show. If there were no advertisers, the show wouldn't even be rated by Nielsen Research, so the number of people watching would have done nothing to help Fox's season average, he said. The cancellation was a stunning rebuke to Regan Books, a high-profile imprint of HarperCollins, and Judith Regan, who had labeled the book and interview Simpson's confession. She insisted she had not done it for money, but as a victim of domestic violence was anxious to face down a man she believed got away literally with murder. Regan Books is known for gossipy bestsellers such as Jose Canseco's Juiced and Jenna Jameson's How to Make Love Like a Porn Star. Jose Canseco's Juiced. Talk about lies. I guess that's what she specializes in is bullcrap. Regan, one of publishing's most driven and forceful personalities, didn't immediately respond to requests for an interview. The TV special was to air on two of the final three nights of the November sweeps when ratings are watched closely to set local ad rates. Adgate. It's been especially tough fall for Fox, which has seen none of its new shows catch on and is waiting for the January appearances of American Idol and 24. The closest precedent for such an about-face came when CBS yanked that miniseries about Ronnie Reagan from its schedule in 2003 when complaints were raised about its accuracy. It was seen on CBS's premium cable channel Showtime instead. One Fox affiliate station manager said he wasn't going to air the special because he was concerned whether or not Simpson was guilty, he'd still be profiting from murders. I have my own moral compass, and this was easy, said Bill Lamb, general manager of WDRB in Louisville. During one of his 400 appearances on CNN's Larry King Live, Fred Goldman, Ron's father, expressed appreciation to anyone who opposed the book. And on and on and on it goes. It's like one of those bad pennies that just keep showing up all over again. You know what I mean? What is that show, with that supposed quiz show with Bill Shatner?
I saw the pilot to that.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called now.
Show Me the Money?
Show Me the Money. That's it.
See, I have to ask the questions and I have to answer them myself.
It helped you out there.
Show Me the Money. Looks like a really crappy show.
It is. And I like Bill Shatner.
I like him, too, but it's just, you know, there's certain things for certain people.
Right.
Like, he isn't going to be performing a surgery on me anytime soon, and I don't think he ought to be doing the hosting some stupid-ass quiz show, but nevertheless. And, of course, singing is right up his alley, too. He's one whale of a singer.
So I hear.
So what do you think the new lineup's going to be come January 1st on QAM? Anyway, getting back to the poll. What do you feel most guilty about? 1,033 votes. Boy, it's a there's my good friend Susan Candiotti on CNN. Love you, Susan. And this light-complected guy, he ain't too bad either, whatever his name. Oh, there, here we go again with, what's his name, from...
Watching Our Language and every...
Oh, my God. From Seinfeld. Over and over. You know something? It must be a really slow time, you know?
They don't get tired of those bigots, man.
Wow. 1,033 votes on a poll. What do you feel most guilty about? Nothing. 48%. It's been constant at that right from the get-go. 496. Right from the get-go. Drinking too much, 236. Cheating on my spouse or partner, 110. This poll is so close to the one we did yesterday that we need to apologize. Don't we?
Yes. Sean
We're
does.
Pretty damn close.
I apologize.
Not. Whatever. If you don't like it, don't diddle with it. In fact, speaking of diddling, so I went to my desktop a little while ago during the break, and there was 800 pictures of Brady Quinn naked, and I was thinking to myself, I wonder who he's diddling. And then, of course, the answer immediately popped into my mind, anybody he wants to.
Probably, yeah.
Cheating on my spouse or partner, 110. I hate this poll, 109. 10.5%, that's unacceptable. I voted for Bush, 48, and we hate you like poison for doing it. Don't ever do that again. I never vote 18, and cheating on my taxes is only 16. Isn't it great that we have so many honest people in this audience, or so many people who cheat on stuff like that but have no conscience about it?
The biggest names, the best talent.
This no remorse.
This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Neil, God?
Absolutely.
Daniel Quayle was his name, and he turned off his favorite cartoon. He clicked the channels for the Brady Bunch reruns. This was no common buffoon. In the spring of 92, like the spring before, he had nothing to do. He heard a rumor Los Angeles fell. It was a
read Danny the cartoons. 131 at 560 WQM. Now, these polls from yesterday and today are similar but not the same, and the board goes back. Not a match. And they're doing that crap again, that Seinfeld crap.
Word may not be enough.
For the umpteen time, over and over. Like, this is a story that most of us should care about. I don't care about it even a little bit. You obviously do because you made a big sinus about it. And Miguel cares because he stayed up to watch Letterman last night to make sure he didn't miss his heroes on air.
No, he just happened to be on.
Oh. 1,041 votes on the poll. I don't care about Seinfeld or this guy or the comedy club or any of that crap. I don't care how many times they put it on there. I refuse to have the media tell me what I should care about. Life is too damn short. Enjoy life and tell the media screw off. Speaking of that, Steve Young, not the quarterback. Hey, Steve.
You fairy.
But the writer says the only thing talk radio learned from 2006 midterms is that they didn't learn. He says mistakes and failures can be positive happenstance, but only if one chooses to learn from them. But before you learn, you must reassess to find out what went wrong. You must reassess. The lords of loud mouthpieces of the White House and GOP were instrumental in helping the GOP score Bush another term in 2004, probably even more so than not Governor Blackwell. But even with their softball interviews and private White House meeting with the president, along with an almost entirely right-wing media day just prior to the election, the GOP's talk radio arm failed miserably in turning in another victory for their masters. Of course, Sean Hannity will be the first one to interrupt you that he didn't concur with every decision the president and GOP made over the past 2 years. Then again, a broken clock is wrong 8,638 times a day, 23 hours, 59 minutes, and 58 seconds. Sean's best pitch was basically that the Republican Party did a piss-poor job shirking their responsibility to Americans, so re-elect them. But what was the difference between winning 2004 and losing 2006? Was it O'Reilly spending more time creating secular progressive boogeymen to sell Bill O'Reilly books and factor gear? Was it Laura Ingraham's suggestion to clog the Democratic voting phone lines? How about Limbaugh's flailing about like a wounded duck? All those certainly turned off a few, might have pulled a GOP lever or two, but I think the purest example of failure came from Hannity's tired anti-democratic litany getting even more tired. And it's not because Hannity fans stopped listening to him. San Francisco values didn't let credit card companies write the bankruptcy bill or pharmaceutical corporations write the drug bill or energy companies develop energy policy. Sean holds up Hollywood as limousine liberals whose lack of virtue are infesting the minds of our kids, but Hollywood didn't place our kids in the middle of a deadly quagmire in Iraq. Sean replays Howard Dean's scream as a symbol of a sick party, but Dean didn't scream us into an unaffordable health care for the truly sick. Sean paints and repaints an unhinged Hillary Clinton, but Hillary didn't unhinge FEMA by hiring Michael Brown. Sean demonizes George Soros as the money man behind Air America, but Soros or Air America didn't get paid off by Jack Abramoff. Sean blames John Kerry's inability to deliver a joke about Bush's Islam of our troops, but Kerry didn't make Republicans cut veterans' benefits. Sean's list repeated ad infinitum was an attempt to brainwash his listeners. Instead, it made them painfully aware that Shaw didn't seem to connect the actual failures, many of them deadly, to the real people responsible. Nothing turns off a working brain more than being insulted with obvious bullshit. For some brains, it might take more time than others for the smell to register, but it seemed to click for enough to make Sean's water-carrying efforts a real detriment to the GOP this past election. Control as a failure. It may pacify the few fans who don't yet realize that Sean only feeds their post-election wounds for the benefit of his humongous financial return. But as long as he and the rest of the right's noise machine don't realize their tired tactics are getting very tired, the hole in their logic will be large enough to drive through a 2008 Democratic victory truck. That's what Steve Young says. You know Steve Young?
Yeah, I know him.
He's an award-winning TV writer and failed talk show host who authored Great Failures of the Extremely Successful, or something like that. He's a guy. And it's on Smirking Chimp. So if it's on the Smirking Chimp, it must be okay. It must be one of our people. Isn't that the way we look at these stories?
Yeah,
oh, that's one of our people. In other words, not some right-wing fascist who we deplore and feel nauseous about, just thinking about. There's that the story again.
Trash talk and...
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
I'm really busted up over this, and I'm very, very sorry to those...
There are people cackling in the audience, and Seinfeld had to tell them, stop laughing, it's not funny. Am I correct about that?
Yes, you are.
Isn't that pathetic?
This is serious. This is an apology.
Yeah, see, Jerry Seinfeld, well, he'll give you the cue when to laugh, when it is funny and when it's not. And, of course, when he starts being funny, let me know. I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime, but nevertheless... If ever there was a walking ad for anti-Semitism, it's either him or the nanny, man, or maybe Barbara Streisand, a walking ad for cross-eyed anti-Semitism.
Or
he is just
all of
nauseating. Nauseating. But you like that show a lot, and so did just about everybody else.
I love the show. I'm not saying I like him. I've seen his stand-up. I think it's terrible.
Really?
I've never seen him do anything in his stand-up routine that I laughed at. But the show
well,
is...
I'll tell you when to start
laughing.
The show's
great.
Okay. Now, what about Cheers? Did you like Cheers?
Not really.
Good. 10.50 on a pool. Boy, we keep getting on these same numbers all the time. I don't know what that's all about. You know what I think it really boils down to? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is my take. I think that basically, regardless of even when we put the poll on there are a certain number of poll voters on our show every day.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And sooner or later, they're going to get on there. I mean, eventually, even if we start to pull a little bit late or if we start early, we're basically within a certain range. You know what I mean?
Starting to figure it out, are you?
Yeah, I'm a little bit slow. Old and slow, that is correct. So maybe now I don't have to panic so much when I start, oh, we may not make 1,000 votes today. Like, you really believe I'm panicking? Like, I really care? Like, I give a schmidt? I don't. I do give a schmidt that this bitch is on there, this whatever the hell her name is. What is her name?
You heard the whole apology on Letterman, right?
Oh, my God. It's just scary. Scary. Let's see what they're talking about on MSNBC, just in case there might be something different.
Richard's remarks drew condemnation.
Everybody's whipped up over this.
Except me. Oh, there you go again with that hostile crap. I think that would be a good way to threaten people to get your kids to watch the movie, and then if they do anything like unacceptable,
ship them off.
Threaten to send them to Slovakia. Uh-oh, won't be doing that no more. I especially liked some of those instruments they had there, some of the torture instruments, the one where he like snipped off her little, one of her toes, whatever it was. Remember that? Yeah, the drill was good. The drill and the saw. I seen it. Oh, there is a, what's his name?
Jewish faith, so closely on the...
Go back to Mexico, okay, you silly-ass beaner, get out of our face. Yeah, you're right, he is funny, but I just... His take on this whole thing is just nauseating. taking a little bit, like, over the top.
Previously scheduled to appear on Letterman Monday night, said he was upset by Richard's tirade.
I was extremely upset about...
Oh, I'm upset that you're on my TV. I would like to... If I had a brick here, I would break the screen if I didn't have to buy a new one.
What's so insane about this?
Oh, where's little Elianita when we need him? At least that was, I don't know, that was some good drama. This is just the same tired crap over and over and over again. God.
Fat Rich reminds me of my mother.
Absolutely.
Never, not no mo, anyway. It's 1:45. What a disgusting thought that is. Anyway, here's some good news. Finally, America's wising up.
Oh!
I hope. You won't believe this. Although they tried it before and it failed miserably because Americans are very stubborn, you know? The U.S. Mint is hoping that Martin Van Buren and Millard Fillmore can do what Susan B. Anthony and Sacagawea, who the hell is that, couldn't, get Americans to use dollar coins. Who's Sacagawea? Some Indian.
The Indian, yeah.
What Indian? Some Indian. I wonder if Defo knows him. The Mint on Monday revealed the design of the new U.S. $1 coin, which will be issued in a series that will eventually include the faces of each U.S. president. It will release four new presidential dollars each year, starting with George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and James Madison in 2007. The Van Buren dollar will be released in 2008 and the Fillmore in 2010. Richard Nixon, who resigned in disgrace in 1974 in the wake of the Watergate scandal, will appear on the coin in 2016. Oy vey. Why the hell are they going to do that? The Mint is hoping the continually changing face will entice consumers to break the traditional reluctance to use dollar coins. I say the best thing to do is, like, stop making any more dollar bills. We don't have any dollar bills.
We need the dollar bills.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Why not? We don't have any dollar bills or $2 bills in Canada. We have dollar coins and $2 coins. Yeah. The dollar coins are loonies,
Canada's
and the $2
the
coins
place.
Are toonies. Listen, I beg your pardon?
We need the dollar bills for the strip clubs.
Strip clubs, tips.
Can't afford to be given
soda
$5.
Soda, candy machines, you know. There's a lot of stuff.
I guess they don't have any soda or candy machines here. And in Europe, they've got euro coins, too. Dollar and two. They don't have dollar bills. The smallest bill is five, fiver.
That's way too much.
Yeah, for you guys, yeah. The Mint is hoping that continually changing faces will entice consumers to break their traditional reluctance to use dollar coins. We think Americans are going to want to collect the series, and that will drive the coins through the economy, said U.S. Mint Director Edmund Moy. That's M.
Moy!
He hopes to avoid the fate of the Susan B. Anthony dollar, which was issued in 79 through 81, again in 99, to honor the women's suffrage pioneer. But due to its size and silver color, it was too easily confused with a quarter. It is now largely distributed as change from mass transit system ticket machines. You know what we really need to do is get rid of the dollar bill and the pennies. Say goodbye to the pennies. The gold color Sacagawea dollar followed in 2000, showing the Native American guide to 1804 explorers Lewis and Clark and her infant son. But I never heard of Sacagawea, and I'm sure I'm not saying it right, and ask me if I care, no.
Saying it wrong, but I have heard of them.
But limited Sacagawea quantities led to too many being stashed away by collectors, reducing circulation and thus familiarity, said Rod Gillis. And then, of course, you could always sell them on eBay. He, by the way, is head of education at the American Numismatic Association in Colorado Springs. The presidential dollar coin will be similar in size and color to the Sacagawea, but will bear no inscription on the obverse or face side. In God We Trust, E Pluribus Unum, and the issue year and the mint mark will appear on the edge. It'll be on the edge, just like you guys are about giving up those stupid-ass dollar bills. God. Although he said the coins will be a boon for collectors in teaching children about past presidents, its success will be limited by Americans' attachment to paper dollars. As long as we have the paper currency out there, dollar coins will never be successful, Gillis said. We're going to have to discard the dollar bill or mass-produce so many of these coins they'll be out there at retailers. Get rid of those dollar bills, baby. Get rid of them. And you're giving me a song that's, well, Canada, what the, what do they know? Moy said the mint's successful 50-state quarters program helped push usage of the coins, as even collectors spent their duplicate versions. He's hoping that the presidential dollars will be freely spent as well. Also helping prospects for the coin is inflation, he said, noting that parking meter prices are a dollar or more per hour in many cities, and snack machine prices are rising, too. Who the hell wants those dollar bills no anymore, huh? You want a Coke? $5. In fact, the vending industry machine... See, I don't understand what you're talking about, because vending machines take coins, okay, dummies?
Yeah, well, oh, what? I'm supposed to carry around a bunch of coin?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
You don't have any coins in your pocket?
In my car, I do.
By the way, something. You are pronouncing it right.
Sacagawea.
Yes. Sacagawea.
I beg your pardon?
Sacagawea.
Oh, Sacagawea. What a sack that is.
Native North American woman guide on the
Lewis. Oh, she was Jewish? Sacagawea? The U.S. Treasury could also save billions from a switch because coins last 30 to 40 years in circulation compared to about 18 months for paper currency. A number of other countries, such as the U.K., use coins exclusively for their single-unit currencies, and Canada and the EU, the whole like that. But, of course, whoever wrote this on CNN is too stupid and don't get out of the house much. Probably ought to be sent to Slovakia. You know, the thing that really cracks me up, many things crack me up about the movie. It's not a funny movie, but just some stupid stuff. Here's these three punks in Amsterdam. They're backpacking their way through Europe, like a lot of young people do and have done for years. And they started out in Paris, and then they're going to Amsterdam, and they're going to wind up in Barcelona. Wasn't that the itinerary, I believe?
Something like that.
That's the goal. Yeah.
Okay, so they're in Amsterdam, and they're in this coffee shop, and they're all passing the
tube,
all smoking up a storm. And there's all these hot hookers all over the place. And they get the tip from somebody in there that the hottest hookers are in Slovakia.
Correct.
So they have to get on the train and go to Slovakia. I got news for you. If that's what you're looking for is to get laid and some hot ass, and you're in Amsterdam, and you got to get on a train to go to Slovakia, you deserve to be in the torture chamber, okay? That's how stupid you are?
Yes.
Even Jay Hernandez, my buddy. He doesn't know he's my buddy yet, but he will be someday. What are you laughing about?
You want a picture for your next wallpaper?
No, I do not. What, Jay Hernandez? I'm gonna replace Brady Quinn with Jay Hernandez, who is marginal at best. I mean, he's an okay. I mean, there was nobody, no hot guys in that movie. That's why he looked so much better than his ugly buddy. And then, of course, that Icelandic guy, that geek that they picked up on a road somewhere. They should have dropped him. I think he was the omen, you know?
Uh-oh.
What?
Oh, look, I feel like it's your place. We got the fire alarm going off.
Do you?
Can you hear it?
I guess we'll have to end the show now a little bit early.
Sorry, Chris.
I got news for you, man. They're never going to let you out of there, even if the whole building's on fire. They're not going to let you out. And the fire department won't respond either. The fire department, for the listening audience, is right around the corner on Ives Dairy Road, right down the street about a mile, less than a mile. And
right,
they don't respond
right
when our fire alarm goes off. Huh?
Right next to the dumpster.
Right. Right next to where George buys his dope. 1071, 1070. I can actually hear that.
Yeah, I got my mic on.
Not nearly as impressive as the ones I got. You got to admit that building.
Well, you're hearing the one from the hallway. The one in here, they shut off.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, because they don't want you guys to know the building's on fire and you're going to die. Because the show must go on, baby. Hey, listen, yeah. I could handle it. We only got about 7 minutes to go and 4 minutes of his spots anyway. And if you look at this last break, we got like 400 units in it. Nice going, Chris. I still say we ought to sell 5 second spots.
Hey.
So that's like in a minute, that's 12 units. So that means we could do 48 units breaks on a show. Wouldn't that be good?
Nice.
You think so?
Yeah. 1,071 votes on the poll. What do you feel most guilty about? And probably this poll, I think. We ought to add that, this poll. Because I voted for nothing, but I feel guilty about doing this poll. Sorry, Sean. It's not a bad poll, but I should have separated him by a couple of weeks anyway. Wouldn't you think? That would have been better. although they don't seem to really care. You know, it's just something to vote on. It's like that story I just had. They took a poll online. Would you use the dollar coins, yes or no? And two-thirds of us said yes out of 38,000 respondents on CNN. How do you like that? As opposed to you guys who are just a couple of hard asses.
No, we'd use them, but we still want the dollar bills.
No, can't have them. Stick the coins in the garter, okay?
Screw coins.
If you want. Now, they do have some that have a hole in the middle.
They're called washers.
No, seriously, there were some of the old European coins. I think some of the German ones and, like, Scandinavian coins had holes in the middle. But nevertheless.
Now, you do want me to put this poll as an option?
No, I do not. Would you just relax? The poll is done. Just relax, okay? You're under too much stress today. Too much stress. Just keep in mind, you're going to pick out on Thursday, and then Friday you got the day off. You got a five-day holiday weekend or whatever.
Yeah, you're welcome,
guys.
I love it.
4 day. Huh?
I said you're welcome to him.
Come and listen to a story about a preacher named Ted, accused of taking meth and having gay sex. And just when you thought he was a super righteous dude, out came some stories that sounded pretty crude. Bad things, that is. Gay escort, snorting meth. Well, the first thing you know, old Ted's a hypocrite. Banning gay love while he was loving it. They said beg forgiveness and drop to your knees. Then cry, say you sinned, and ignore hypocrisy.
Bye, bye, bye!